United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And today Sesame Street turns 45.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we were turning like five, Sesame Street was debuting. And so I just wanted to say,
I never liked Sesame Street as a child.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I always thought it was kind of ignorant.
Why?
I just did. I just.
What? Talking birds?
Yeah, I just.
Nothing up
my
against.
My kids didn't like it either.
You guys are weird. You don't like sound probably because Jeff was on it. You didn't like Sesame Street?
No. I really didn't. My kids didn't either.
They couldn't relate. What kind of people are you guys down there?
I don't think they could relate to a lot of it.
Well, they couldn't relate to a talking chicken and a bird?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, like
we
I,
all love Sesame Street.
No.
Yeah.
My kids were Muppet kids.
The Muppets were nuts.
They loved the Muppets.
The Muppets were, they were nutty.
I mean, I understand the Muppets are a spinoff of Sesame Street.
But the Muppets are nuts.
But yeah, my kids
You didn't get into Kermit the Frog and, you know, Oscar the Grouch?
As Muppets, yes. As Sesame Street, no.
See, I'm a Sesame Street girl. I love, absolutely love Oscar the Grouch. He was the coolest one on there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Love Oscar. Big Bird was okay. But Oscar was just, he kept it real.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm in studio with Six today. Today is Wednesday, the 17th of September, 2014. And I hope you're having a good day today. And there's a lot going on. And we're going to try to cover anything that you want to cover today. We don't have anyone scheduled. I thought of Dr. Daniel, she may come in. I'm not quite sure she's coming or not. I haven't heard. But you've not, no, what else do you have, Six? What have you been in? How did you guys do on Monday without me?
I thought we did really well. I mean, we had an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And Jeff hung around afterwards for I don't know how long. I had to run.
You had to run? You had to leave?
Yeah, I had to go see Dr. Matt. He twisted my back into shape.
I'm going out to see him this afternoon.
Oh, he's amazing.
He is good. He is really good, I have to say. He really, really is. And he's very thorough.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was. It wasn't me. I hear birds.
I hear birds fly. Okay, I'm done. See? Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Did you like Schoolhouse Rock?
Yes, I loved Schoolhouse Rock.
That was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I learned everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, we still use that stuff today for our kids. It's a shame they don't still do it.
It's a shame that we are in America. I'm trying to slow down, and I'm still on this Ray Rice domestic violence issue. It's really burning me. It really is. I don't think people understand the passion that I have behind between this Ray Rice thing and this Adrian Peterson
thing. Well, what about RG3 and his T-shirt?
That's what I'm... Oh, I was trying to think of a quote that I had read yesterday, and I couldn't remember what it was. I found it. The quote was, "In America, you can see two men kissing down the street, but you can't wear a shirt that says anything about Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's serious. It's America. But I'm having a problem because they don't want you to have freedom of speech. And so
that's the first thing totalitarians do is they make thought crime. That's why I've always been against hate crime, because the definition of a hate crime is a thought crime.
I am. I'm serious. I'm Rihanna.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the song that she sang. But she was the victim of domestic violence. I mean, Chris Brown beat her like a punching bag.
Yeah.
And she did go back with him, and then she left. And it's okay. People do what people do, and we need to really understand. And this is something that I don't think America has. I'm going to say liberal America, because I'm not quite sure how progressives think on this. And I'm going to blast Fox News in a minute. You can't make me live like you live because you think how I live is weird.
Only in a totalitarian state can you do that.
And
that's where a certain percentage of this leadership of this country wants, is they want cookie-cutter families.
You can't have cookie-cutter families. Life would be boring if we all live the same.
Well,
there are people that are, there are people that are hoarders.
I worked with a guy that always said if everybody liked Chevrolets, there'd be no reason to make Fords.
Pretty much. And I have to say this. You have to realize there are people who are hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who live in some nasty houses.
I have a friend that gave up her children over a chicken on a porch.
See, they live. When you go in their house smells like 15 miles of fat back dead. I mean, it's bad. And you hate to go. Going in the house is just like, please don't let me have to stay here too long because I have to gag. But if you like it, and that's how you want to live, who am I to tell you you can't live that way?
I just had a tenant that we had a gas issue over the weekend. And gas company had to come. They had to clear a path.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't like it, I mean, everybody doesn't live in a spotless house. Everybody is not like that. And, some people, that's just who they are. That's how they live. That's their life. Some people like to take, and hit their head up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. And they like to wear weird clothes. And they like to look, there's a guy who walks around and he wears a Burger King hat. Well, baby, if you want to wear a Burger King hat and you're not working for me, then you can Burger King all you want. We really need to let people do what they do. And when it comes to freedom of speech, if Rihanna wants to sing a song about a man beating her, you chose the song.
And from what I understand, they also chose the radio version.
Absolutely. But you chose the song. You wanted the song. But all of a sudden now, because of Ray Rice, you decide you don't even talk to her. You just pull it. And let me say this to all you white people out there. There is a cultural difference. You don't even know what the song is about. You haven't even asked people what the song was about. You read the words, and you think because you read them, they mean what you think they mean, but you haven't asked the person that wrote them, what were you talking about? Hello? Anybody that calls a switch a branch, you don't know what you're talking about.
What's hilarious is the number of people that say, I've never heard of such a thing. My dad used to tell me all the time, go out and give me something to beat you with.
It was a switch. A switch is one of them little tiny things that come off of a tree. It wasn't a tree branch. Fox News breaks little, in the third quarter down at the bottom where the little commentary goes across.
Yeah.
Little scroll says, Adrian Peterson beats child with tree branch. It wasn't a branch from a tree.
It was a switch.
It was a switch. There's a difference.
A sprout.
Pretty much.
Yeah, a sprout.
Pretty much. And they had a little, and God bless the kid if he was. I was telling yesterday that we had a weeping willow in the backyard.
Ooh.
Not good, because that thing had a little whip to it.
Yeah.
That's not nice. But it gave you correction.
That's so commonplace. It's a Jeff Foxworthy joke. I think it's probably even a Bill Cosby joke.
Absolutely.
Go get me something to beat you with, boy.
And actually, if you
don't come back with anything too small either.
Too small or too dry.
Right.
If it breaks, I'm going to kill you. Let me say this. If you beat more of your kids, they wouldn't be as crazy as they are today. They wouldn't be going to jail.
Who said that? Who said that?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Somebody just said that. One of the sportscasters said that. But that's the problem is there ain't enough whipping in the United States.
I could have told y'all that. As I said yesterday, some children need to be talked to. And if you say, Johnny, sit down, he'll sit down. That's all he needs. And there's some kids.
My children are a perfect example. I looked at my daughter cross-eyed, and she'd burst into tears.
See?
I'd look at my son, and he'd stand up, and he'd put them shoulders back, and we were on.
Some of these kids are defiant. I mean, it's not about breaking their spirit. It's about making sure that you get correction out of them. And you can't get correction out of them if you don't know what they need. And let a man, if a man is loving on his children, if a man is not abusing his children, if you want to see abuse, there is a kid who is on a video right now, busting a sag, holding his groin, cussing all out of the place, and his parents are videotaping it. You got little girls twerking all over the place. That's child abuse. I want to know how I really feel. Hi, yeah. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Tracy. But you're absolutely right. It's like there's this progressive authoritarian mindset. It's like I look at Ray Rice and Andre Peterson. Remember earlier in the summer you took the dunk take challenge at the carnival?
Yeah.
It's like that's what they got. Those guys are in the dunk tank. And if you're not willing to get in line and take a swing at them, then you're supporting child abuse and domestic violence. It's crazy.
I can't get past this topic because they keep on bringing it up. And I'm watching this and I'm going, I'm looking at this Ray Rice thing. And no one wants to know what the root problem is. I was talking to somebody yesterday. If you and I are married or in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and you are beating on me, I promise you, the last thing that I'm going to do is spit on you. Because you know what happens when we spit on people
yep.
who are abusers?
You get beat down.
As a matter of fact, you can spit on somebody who's nonviolent, and you go get beat.
Tracy, I mean, aren't we a forgiving nation of second chances? I mean, why am I labeled as a white beater just because I think Ray Rice deserves a second chance?
No, he don't deserve a second chance.
Well, how can you punish him twice for the same thing?
Well, that's the appeal that he put through the union, through the players' union.
Because they already said, and don't you know, Goodell, don't tell me you didn't see the video ahead of time.
I know
he did.
How do you know that?
And Ray Rice admitted he cold cocked.
No, he admitted it, but I don't think they saw the video. And let me say it to you this way. There is it's called a plausibility, a deniable plausibility.
Yeah.
You have to understand there are people that
plausible
are.
Plausible deniability.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
There are people that will shelter your leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're there for. So that mm-hmm. you can honestly say, I don't know. Hey, good morning, South Carolina. Where you been?
Oh, I have been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. That's one of those things they say down here in South Carolina where we make sure our children are thoroughly, thoroughly disciplined. You know what I'm saying?
Do you use tree limbs down there?
Tracy?
Huh?
I'm going to put it to you like this. I had to go out and get three switches. My grandmother would braid them up. Okay?
Somebody was saying that yesterday.
I got hit with a shoe. I got hit with an extension cord. It all depends on the severity of the offense.
Of the crime. I'm telling you, right now, in my room, in my mom's house, there's a little indentation in the, you know, they had a real plaster back then,
mm-hmm.
where she threw a shoe at my head. I don't know what I did, but thank God I ducked. It happened. I mean, come on. I mean, what do you want? You can't have it both ways. There's no way. You'd rather go send them to prison, turn them into sissies, and do what?
Well, you know, Proverbs says if you spare the rod, you will not kill your child.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
I ain't spoiled because my mom tried to kill me, and I don't blame her. I'm just having problems with this ongoing. Really, it's bothering me because they keep on bringing it up. They were trying to get the sponsors to back out of it and to start making. You can't control my house. This is America.
This is another aspect that I kind of noticed. My wife kind of pointed it out to me. She said that Ray Rice, Peterson, and the other gentleman, Hardy. So she said that this is kind of interesting because it makes it seem like all black males are violent and beat the hell out of their kids or beat the heck out of their wives.
That's I'm trying to tell you that it's they listen This is what they did with black men in orange jumpsuits. They're shaping how America perceives African-American males and African-American females. And they're making an example out of them so they can continue to warehouse our children in prison.
Yeah, and you got so-called black leaders and aren't saying a doggone thing about it.
You
yeah,
know,
where is Al?
Want me to tell you where they at? I can tell you. I got a feeling, and this is just a, you know, I just gotta, because they got charges behind them somewhere, and they don't want them to come out.
Yeah, Jesse really ain't got room to talk. I mean,
it's kind of hard to talk. It's kind of hard to talk when either you beat your kids, and or you didn't beat your wife. Girlfriend.
He got kids all over the country. So he
people in glass houses
can't throw stones. That's why you ain't heard a peep. And see, this ain't about racism or false racism or creating a false positive.
I would be willing to bet in the United States the majority of parents have spanked their child.
A good majority.
I would say the majority.
But maybe not with a tree limb, a branch, tree branch.
What's the difference if you use a switch or if you use a paddle or if you use a belt or if you use a wooden spoon?
Because a switch will always make a welt.
Not through a pair of pants.
Not through a pair of pants, but I never had the opportunity of having a switch and a pair of pants. I tried to do the padding thing, it didn't work.
It all depends on who's doing the switching, mama or daddy. Trust me, if daddy
and
did it, it's gonna go.
He was in trouble. And then when daddy did it, you didn't have to worry about daddy doing it too often.
Right.
You know, dads get a couple whacks out, and when mom says, don't let me have to call your dad, things change.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whereas mom, you know, it's like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I made the mistake of saying to my mom one time, that make you feel better, you want to do it again.
Ooh.
I was about 15 years old.
You lived?
Barely. Because when dad got home, it was all over.
Wow. Six. You don't know. That's not nice. That's not smart.
It's just the opposite. You know, I knew not to make my dad. My mom could look at me sideways, and I would be like, I better shut up, because this woman might kill me. I knew what I threw at my dad.
Tracy.
Yes, South
Carolina. I'm going to tell you one thing that I heard. It didn't happen to me, but I heard a gentleman tell his son this one time. He said that I don't care how you treat your mother, but you will not disrespect my wife that way. And he went to wailing on him. And trust me, I use that myself.
And we need to understand, there needs to be. You can't ask a man to take care of his children and to discipline them and then say, but only discipline the way I want you to. That's not right. 718, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Oh, man. So what are you just – well, from the little bit that I've heard and with this situation with – is it Peterson? I stick to what I've been saying for a long time. I really feel it's just about the emasculation of the man. I really do.
I agree.
Emasculation because, I mean, I saw the pictures of the child and I heard the situation – and me and my man talked about it together, and we were pretty much saying the same thing, that, you know, you discipline your child. You know, the child was misbehaving, and not to go too far off the harbor, but it's like, this is normal stuff. We may not agree with the whole switch thing, because we all got that when we were younger, but at the same time, the man disciplined his child, and this is a man that is a father in his child's life. And I just think it's just, they're just trying to emasculate these men as much as they can.
Well, there's another aspect to this, too, and probably not in this case because the child was only four, but we send our children to public schools and they come home and tell us, I got rights.
What rights?
That's my point.
But
the school's not telling the kids they got rights, and the kids come home and they think they can tell their parents they got rights.
And the reason why they have rights is because parents didn't discipline them on their way to school, because I can go into school and tell you, I may have rights here, but I don't have rights at home, so you need to leave me alone.
Exactly. My cousin years ago experienced that. Her 9-year-old son decided he wanted to go hang out with his friends. He jumped through the window, hung out. She had to sit in a missing child report. He came home like it was nothing, and she spanked him. And the job had to let her go because she got, like, child abuse because he ran to school and told that she had spanked him. you know.
I
and,
mean, come on. And,
right.
and then she never could discipline him again.
No, she still disciplined her son, but I you know, it's just, she got her job back, by the way. She got her job back. But the thing is, it's just really sad that some adults don't have the common sense to come out of work and say, you know, and talk to the adult or whatever instead of just reporting the situation. Because I don't
we
think all
want,
situations with children are just child abuse, you know?
They're not. And that's just, that's the problem. They're not. But the, there are people in their minds that believe that you, everybody ought to sit down and have time out and count back to, you know, one, two, three. My mother would still be counting.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Time out equals I'm sorry, Tracy. I'm sorry. With time out equals Columbine.
Pretty much. In my community, you start timing out folks in my community, we still be counting. You'll learn your numbers.
Exactly.
For real. And it's sad because when you look at the incarceration rate, and when I think I told this to Stanley, because you know Stanley's really against corporal punishment. There is a line that comes with punishment and spankings and corporal punishment that you have. It's a balance between love and support and consideration that you have to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe Adrian is the one who was beating his kids and not loving on them. I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. Absolutely not. Sorry.
What'd you say?
He has pictures of him playing football with the baby.
He loves on his kids, but he's got to correct them. Because if he does not correct them at an early age, then they will become monsters at a greater age. But we would rather have them to be monsters so that we can put them in prison.
Exactly.
Or put them on drugs.
Because all of those drugs that's on Ritalin and all that stuff, speaking from personal experience, I have a cousin that was on all that stuff in his younger years and was nothing ever wrong with him. He's just a child that didn't have a father and all that kind of stuff. This young boy went to jail. He's doing 3 years. He was 16 years old.
Go ahead, Eric. What were you saying?
I said, yeah, I'm when my daughter was younger, I would see, you know, mothers in the doctor's office bragging because their kids are on Ritalin and all this stuff. I'm like, what, really?
Yeah.
I was at the doctor's office the other day, and there were some kids in the lobby where we were waiting, and she couldn't control her kids for love nor money. She needed to put those kids, they were worse than Bebe's kids. They was climbing all over the furniture, screaming all over the place, and there was nothing she could do with them. And we think that that's okay because she can count. She was counting, she was time out, and she was doing all that kind of stuff. My mama had a look, and I knew to sit my behind down because if she took me in the restroom, lights were out.
Yeah, and, you know, I had a situation in the grocery store with my children. I said, y'all want me to knock the stars out of you? And everybody started cracking up. But it took me to still just at least say something to them. And I don't think parents, you know, as long as you're not screaming and going crazy, you don't look out of control. But, you know, you have to have your children in order. It's important. It's very
and it was,
important.
It was so sad. I was glad when they called me into the exam room. Because, I mean, the kids were just that bad outside in the waiting area. They were, and I was like, are you serious? And she said, you know, Johnny, you'll sit down. I'm going to count back. I'm going to count backwards now. One, five, four. And he looked at her like, you can count all you want. This is my space. I'm going to tell Daddy we won't go to the carnival tonight. He's like, I don't care. Do you really think that? And then you wonder why you send your kid to school and the teacher can't control him. I mean, are we serious about this?
Tracy, it's so bad. It's so bad. It shocked me coming here in New York City, seeing the parents that takes the children's side. If a teacher say anything to them about their child, they're automatically a curse out the teacher, and they will not take the criticism or they won't listen. They'll take the child's side, and I'm like, this is how these children are pretty much manipulating their parents.
That's why I don't coach anymore. They ran me away. These mothers,
I don't blame
you. They ran me away.
Oh wow!
You can't even come to my house because everything in my house is discipline. And mm-hmm. if I can't discipline your child, they can't. I don't have a child-proof house, and I'm not putting everything away because your child comes to visit. You need to be able to get your child to sit down in a chair, and I'll give them stuff to play with. They can watch television. They can do whatever they want to do, but they cannot run around the house like Bebe's kids. And if anybody wants to know who Bebe's kids is, if I can find a clean version, I'll play it. Hey, you know, I got to take a break. You listen to
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, if you're a coach, you might as well sit in the stands and let the mother sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, because, you know, what's going on is, you know, the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't be surprised if most of those mothers were single mothers or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
Because fathers handle things so differently in the home. I mean, it's just different.
Hey, New York and Alabama, this whole incident with this gentleman has actually given me a subject for my dissertation. And it is I am formulating a theory, two theories actually. One is called logical parenting theory, and the other one is emotional parenting theory. And when I get it all panned out and straight, I'm gonna present them to you guys and see what you think, because I think this is what's at work with us and looking back, you know, at what has happened to the parenting that African Americans have for their children, I think this is one of the most insidious things that we have adapted to or that we have taken on as a result of desegregation, and that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's go ahead.
I wanted to add. I'm pretty much be 30, and we all come. I'm from the South, so you know we all come from that old school type of whooping. You say something, you talk back, you get hit. You know, most Black people have come from that. And what I think is from the generation, I would say from my generation coming up, we were trying to build something for our children where they can have a voice. We don't have to be abused. You know, go get the switch and I'll beat you. I think parents was trying to come out of that type of way of disciplining. But what's going on is it's gotten so out of hand that parents are trying to be their children's friend. And parents around here where I'm at, it's not very logical. If the child tells the parent something, the parent automatically takes the child's side. And it's all about the children. You know what I'm saying? So,
no, but the thing is, I'm hearing what you – it's Stanley, by the way. And I am one person who doesn't believe in hitting a person. Like, I do not believe that parents need to be a friend to their children. But where is it abuse? Because I'm hearing Tracy that said, well, my grandmother took a chair, took a shoes and threw. Where is it abuse? Where is it when everybody's saying, well, you know, the parent needs to have self-control. How do you know the parent has self-control? I saw many parents are basically slapping or hitting their kid, and they had no self-control. They had a bad day. They had a bad week. They had a bad day, and they didn't have no more patience. They say, you know what? No more. And just snap.
Can I say something, Stan? Do you have children?
No, but I...
Okay, let me tell you something. Wait. Bill Cosby did a comedy skit on it. He did a stand-up on this. And he said something, and I didn't have children at the time, but I get it. He said, for all of you that do not have children, you don't understand.
What do you mean we don't understand?
Wait, let me finish. It's not okay to abuse a child. But when it comes to dealing with children and what you have to experience with them and how you have to discipline them, those times you get mad and you scream at them, those times you get mad and you hit them, when you have children, you can understand it. That's all I'm saying.
Wait. So those times that you get mad and everything, is it not your time as a parent to control yourself? You're supposed to be the discipline. You're supposed to be the person that never gets mad.
Anybody who has children will tell you that. Are some little manipulating suckers. Depending on what type of children you have, them things can come off as demons, depending on the children that you have.
I disagree with
Unless
you.
Unless you have
I disagree with you completely.
It.
I disagree with you.
Let me tell
I disagree
you
with you.
No, children are
because,
so
because
smart.
if you're going to doing that philosophy, you could do that same philosophy. There are some manipulative adult and this and that.
No, no, no. The
you,
reason why
you
don't
go all the way,
you
could go all the way
to
this.
Stanley, I just made a point. Because you don't have children, you don't understand
no,
what I'm saying.
It,
anybody
it,
who
no,
has
no,
children
it,
knows what I'm
it
saying.
It has nothing to do with
they
having children.
Demons.
It's because you don't have the patience. It has nothing to do with being having a children because you don't have the patience of knowing how to influence
no,
your
I
children.
Have patience, but they could be
oh,
demons.
How many
yes.
parents, may, how many parents say they have a patient? How many parents say they have the patient? How many?
Hey,
I do.
I can just count them. I can count them in the
South Carolina, Alabama.
Hey, Amenti.
Yeah, what's up?
I know. They will take you there. They will push your boundaries like you have never imagined, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they'll push you. They're little demons. They could be little
yes,
demons.
They will push you there, and it's for you to be never accept to be pushed to that point. Wait, yeah. So somebody's pushing your button and everything. Who has the control of that, the children or you? Who has the
oh,
final
wait,
control?
You know,
who has the final control? Wait up, wait up. Are you telling me that I could take any other example? I could take
we cool, Stanley, but you just don't get it, man.
You don't get it. You don't
have to. Why do I don't get it? I don't get it.
Because
you just said they could push your button. Okay. So if somebody's pushing your button except your children, are you in control of it or your children are in control of it? Let's say they do push your button.
You're not getting it.
Why am I not getting it? He said they said, and
I'm not going to help you. Doesn't have kids on this topic. I can't do it.
We can't explain to people who don't have children how children are because you don't have them. It's not
yeah, but you're making it sound. You just said, and I'm repeating what you're saying. They decide. Kid decide to push your button. The kid decide this morning.
Gladly,
you know what?
Because I'm having major issues with this. Because as Amenti, who calls him from New York, she says she believes that they are emasculating our men. I believe that they're setting an example so that you do not discipline your children, and they're creating an atmosphere that is not going to be good for America. And even when I look at the Rihanna thing, and because they don't like her music, but they liked it before the domestic violence, but now that they have it, they don't want it. You know, just how they handle it, how they do things is inappropriate. And we're not paying attention, and no one's saying anything. And as long as we stay silent, and if somebody said, where's your Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton is now, because they don't want to speak out against the – and this is my belief. They don't want to speak out against the politically correctness of America because they are used to manipulate the situation, and you can't manipulate the situation when most of the people that are playing in it are wrong. People need to be able to raise their children as they choose. Abuse, if you're hitting them with a baseball bat, if you're sexually abusing them, that's something different. But when you look on Fox News, and for all you Fox News watchers, when you're sitting up there talking about a tree branch, if you're talking about a tree branch, then you need to shut up because you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the news stations have that problem. You see things that don't jive because the people doing the producing don't have any idea what they're talking about.
So you're sitting there talking about they beat them with a tree. That ain't no tree branch. It was a switch.
Hey,
there's a difference.
A little piece of thin sprout off of a tree.
Tree branch doesn't work. Doesn't sting like a tree switch.
Oh, it's real hard. I mean, swinging a tree branch like swinging a baseball bat.
And even though he's a big guy,
it ain't moving real fast.
You would really want to have a tree branch because a tree branch gives you, you know, time to move. Switches got that little whippy thing going on. It's not cool. It works, but it's
not
cool.
Well, you know, I mean, even grandma's had a little switch thing going. It'd work you all the way back to the house from the backyard.
Absolutely.
Know? Right across the back legs.
Absolutely.
Short pants.
And I'll tell you this, and you never called grandma out of her name. You never called her a bitch.
Ooh.
See there? That's where the switch
went.
No. You never went to... I said it. I'm saying because... I never went to school and called my teacher out of her name, even if she didn't like me and I didn't like her. I had the discipline to make sure, because if you called my mom, this is what switches do for y'all that do not know. Switches, let me tell you what they do. When the police pick you up, you tell them, take me to jail.
Yeah, really.
That's what switches do.
Yep.
Switches say, take me to jail.
Because I would rather see the jail than I would rather see my mother.
Because the wrath that I will take when I get home. Just take me to jail. If you can, just put me in an isolation where they can't get to me.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the funny thing is, when you tell the cop that, the cop's taking you straight home because he knows.
That's right, because he knows what you get at home is going to be worse than what he can do to you, and they'll teach you a way better lesson than the police station will.
I learned how to lie in school, trying to tell my teacher not to call home. That's what switches do.
Yep.
Switches put the fear of home and bad reports in a child. That's what they do.
And you know, Tracy,
go ahead.
Now, Tracy, here's the difference. Here's the difference. It put fear in you. It did not put terror in you. Okay?
No.
Terror is an evil. Fear is a respect. So
there was a healthy fear.
There was a healthy fear.
Very, very healthy. What were you saying, Minty?
I was just saying how it makes sense to the old school type of parenting. Because my child's behavior got so out of hand, I was like, I don't know what to do with her.
Well,
and
when you don't, when you
reach
don't,
out to an elder.
Hold on, Stanley, let's finish.
I had to reach out to an elder. And the first thing the elder said to me was, she's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even see that. Just that one little thing I didn't even see. And he said, she's disrespectful. And you need your no's needs to be no's, and your yes needs to be yes. And, just little stuff like that. And I thought about, like, this is why our parents, when they said something to us, that was it. If we talk back, we got hit. Or we got punished for that. I understand it now.
And I disagree
and
with you. Hold on, Stanley,
let me, and I think I've said this to you before. And I want you to really understand this. We are not talking about abuse. Let me finish what I'm saying. And because of your convictions and because of your upbringing, I can understand exactly where you are coming from. I do. I can empathize with what you're saying, what you believe about corporal punishment and chastising a child physically. I'm all for it with you from your experiences, and I don't have a problem with it. But what I'm saying is that all children cannot be raised with conversation. Go ahead. I would not be here. I would be incarcerated.
The thing I'm saying is, where do you draw the line that it's an abuse or not? Because I've heard before when we had the commercial, everybody was saying, basically they were saying that, oh, my children could push my button, and I go to that point. Where is it as a parent are we going to teach parents that you're not supposed to let your children go to that point of pushing your button? You're supposed to be the center, calm person that if you need to discipline your kids, discipline them, but not discipline them when you're mad, when you're pissed off, when he pushed my button. I'm sorry. If your kid pushed your button, you have to look at yourself as a parent and tell you, how come you push your button?
Stanley, again, that goes to discipline. And you have to realize, when you spank your children, you have to be disciplined also. Sometimes, before you go and – hold on. Before you even confront your children, even verbally, even in conversation, you need to take a walk.
Exactly.
You need to go get down.
And that's what I said in the commercial. Everybody's like, no. I'm like, you let your children push your buttons? If your children push your button. Yes, they're going to push your button. But who has the final control? If somebody tells me,
but that's what I'm saying. But that's what I said. You as a parent, parents have to have the discipline of themselves.
Of course.
To know, sometimes you have parents and your kids have done some stuff. They've gone so all over the top. Well, you have, especially if you're in a father and a mother situation, you have to say, you need to handle this one because if I do, I'm going to kill him.
Yep. Yeah.
You got to pass the baton. You got to say, honey, I love my kid and I love you, but I need for you to go handle this
because
I can't handle this one right now.
Exactly.
Not
and I agree with you 100%, Tracy. And that's what I said. And everybody in the commercial would say, no, you don't know what it is. What do you mean? If somebody's pushing you, but I don't care if it's your kid, I don't care if it's anybody and everything, it is your responsibility. It has nothing to do with the kid. It's you.
It's your thing.
Hold on. What were you saying, Sticks?
My parents either one at any time would say, go to your room. You earned a spanking, and you're going to get it, but not right now.
Go ahead, Minty.
I was saying, going back to Peterson's situation, his son was misbehaving. From what I've read, the son was misbehaving in school all week. He was fighting other children and carrying, you know, just really just disrespectful and out of hand. And he thanked him. He told him, he disciplined him for that type of behavior.
So if your kid is misbehaving, the first condition you say, oh, let me spank him? You don't think that's the only way to basically
Stanley,
tell your
Stanley,
kid not
Stanley,
to hit
Stanley,
him.
Stanley,
wait
Stanley.
A minute.
You don't listen.
Every child is not disciplined the same. I cannot discipline my daughter the way I discipline my son, not because she's a girl or he's a boy, because he doesn't get it. I can't sit down and talk to him and say, I could do that.
Hold on, Sal.
Children the same, Stanley. It's
yes,
everybody
but not. But did you try?
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Tracy, I have four daughters, one son. Okay, the oldest daughter, if she does something she's not supposed to, I can speak to her, and that takes care of it. Okay, the second daughter has to go in time out. That third one, we're going to have to we have to tussle, okay? We have to tussle. And the last daughter, all I have to do with her is tell her to go sit in the corner somewhere. And see, these children have different personalities. They have different currency, actually. I mean, it happens. But until you've actually been they all have on different occasions pushed my buttons. But you have to know your children. You have to know those children, and that takes a relationship. Most times now, parents don't even know their kids.
You
got to
take time with your kids. You got to know which one's which. You just don't beat all of them. Yeah, I mean, seriously, Stanley. I keep on telling you this because we know where you stand on this. And as I said, based on your experiences, it's okay. But what I'm saying to you is, there comes a time when you have a child. The day that you go and you miss your cycle and you say something wrong here and you go and take a leak on a stick, your life, and it comes back pink. Life as you once knew it changed. How you eat changes. How you live changes. How you sleep changes. And from that point on in your life, you have made you're supposed to make a life-altering transition into parenthood. And parenthood takes responsibility that we do not teach anymore. What'd you say, Eric?
Here's the thing. You know, your child getting a switch and going to bed hungry is abuse. But your child getting a switch and going home with his belly full, that's love. That's what it comes down to.
Listen, my mama beat me, and I don't know if you guys have heard Eddie Murphy. She would spank me and talk about this hurts me more than it hurts you. I'm like, well, let me help you out. And then she would come and hug me and tell me she loves me and that and all she wants is the best for me.
And
she wasn't doing it out of guilt. She was doing it out of love because I think we were 15 or 16. We were sneaking liquor out the house. And it's a wonder that we got caught going out the house, and the bottle said clank inside of my book bag on my way to the football game. And in my mind, all I could say was, oh, snap. And life that night was very, very long. Long night. But alcohol poisoning and her letting me drink and have babies and have men in my bedroom and all that kind of stuff, that's abuse. Her spanking my behind, putting me on punishment, and cutting the cord of my stereo, that was what she called love.
And that's the problem, though. People want to, these progressives, they want to equate hitting you in the arm with a switch, locking you in a cage like a dog, and making you eat with your hand.
No, that's not going to work. Yes, Al?
We have started treating our children like our peers. Okay?
That's the problem.
We treat them like as if they are our peers, and that is the problem.
My mama told me she wasn't my friend. She still tells me that. She said, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, when she got pregnant with me, you know, smoking stopped. Drinking stopped. Because you can't smoke and drink. when you have babies. It's not good for them. If I'm not mistaken, unless something has changed. And no, we don't teach that. There's a discipline. And Stanley, I'm supposed to sit down and talk to my child, find out who my child is. You can tell a child in the terrible twos what they're going to need as far as disciplining. Because in those terrible twos, they are all over the place. And I'm doing this by observation because I don't have children. But if you don't correct them at an early age, and if you don't navigate them at an early age, they will be wayward. That's why you have a juvenile delinquents.
And that's why I agree with what your part is. I'm telling you, I would bet my life that 50 or 60% of parents don't even know their kid and don't even do what you said. You need to know your children.
Sure.
A lot of parents go back and say, you know what? My parents thought this. I'm going to do the same thing. And you, I'm going to get the whooping. That's it.
But this is not what Adrian Peterson's doing. This is not what's happening with him. Now let me say this: he's having problems, but this is not his issue. His issue is his son was misbehaving. His son was acting up, and he says, "I got to correct this now because if I don't, I'm going to pick him up in JV in a couple years."
Yeah. Plus, most kids aren't disciplining their kids nowadays, Tracy. That's what family doesn't seem to understand that.
Most kids are what?
Most parents aren't disciplining their kids like that nowadays. They're all time out, count to 10, count backwards, stand in the corner.
Please, most parents don't even know their kids. They think they know
That's
them,
true.
They don't even know them.
But Stanley, please. Let me say, like I said, about this one woman, she was nice, you could tell that she was a stay-at-home mom. So she had married someone that gave her the luxury to do that. And she had no control over her two children. There were only two sitting in the waiting room of the doctor's office. She was counting. She was pleading with them. She was begging them. She was no carnival tonight. No this. I'm going to tell your daddy. And these kids looked at her like, you are out of your mind. You have no authority over me. Kick rocks, lady. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they were so bad, I was glad for the doctor to come take me into the exam room so I could go. And when I went in the exam room, I was like, thank you for calling me out of there. That's a problem. That child needed to have a discipline, and if talking and time out and standing in the corner, if your voice of your mom and your dad of authority does not correct you, then you need to find a way that's going to get their attention to where they have the respect to stop when you say stop, because if not, it will save their life.
Yeah, and you look at the media nowadays, Tracy. I mean, most of the sitcoms that involve children, the kids are running the household. The parents are just like goofballs in the background.
It's true. And we want men to be involved, but then tell them when you're involved, well, don't do this and don't do that. You can't tell a man how to raise his kids because that kid is just like him.
Right.
And the problem is we got mothers trying to raise a kid, and she don't know the man well enough to know what the world's coming out of him because the baby daddy's just like the baby. And she don't know the daddy well enough to know how to correct him.
Yep, that's why it's important to have mother and father there, because I'm going to tell you, if my children didn't have my son, father, if I didn't know him, I'd be in trouble. I probably would just be here spanking this boy all the time, but he teaches me how to deal with the children because he sees a lot of his ways in them. So it does help to have father, a daddy, but another thing too, daddy disciplines very differently anyway. Daddy, you know, you don't.
And let me say this also.
Daddy.
There is a reason why it takes two to have a baby, and it really takes two to raise the child.
Right.
Because you need to know whose side is coming out when. I'm not lying. I'm serious.
I know. That's why I'm laughing because I know.
You have
a
baby, and you see something. You see something come out that child and look like it's spawn from the deep. And you're like, what the heck is that? That's the baby daddy. And you don't know it because you don't know the daddy.
It might be you too.
That's true too. That's true.
Look at the longest running TV show, The Simpsons. The dad is living with a complete idiot, and that's the but you know, shows like The Cosby Show, The Cliff Huxtable, they don't make it, you know.
Well, we've discussed that. I mean, the last good TV dad was probably John Walton.
No, Bill Cosby was pretty good.
Yeah, Bill Cosby
was
after John
good.
Walton. That's right.
Bill Cosby's pretty good. But right now you don't see any disciplining. You
no.
don't see any correction. You don't see any navigation of a man in a family.
There isn't a single husband and father on network television that isn't painted as a buffoon.
No. All men are buffoons. Either that or they're very, very effeminate. But they are definitely not a strong leadership role. Would you say South Carolina?
Even in the commercials where there's a mother or a female and there's a gentleman or a guy there, they're treated like they're idiots. They don't know. They don't have a clue.
The guy can't even use power tools. You know, he's an idiot.
No.
He can't even do that anymore.
No. And that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a major problem.
I'm sorry.
The feminization of America is a major problem that we have not addressed and we are not addressing.
Well, we need to address it because we're destroying our warrior class. I mean, let's look at children are not allowed to play cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians.
I told y'all I was talking to somebody the other day and they told me they don't want to let their children watch Coyote and Roadrunner.
Why?
And Tom and Jerry.
Too violent.
Too violent.
Oh, do they let them have a World of Warcraft game?
I don't know. I just said what? I said excuse me.
What about Mario Brothers?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about Mario.
I wasn't Mario. I was they don't watch Scooby Doo because Scooby Doo gives a nightmare.
I was in one of my apartments the other day and there was a kid playing a game and I'll tell you what, he was probably 12, 13 years old. I never saw so much blood spattered all over the place in my life.
But why would you allow your child to play not have Scooby Doo because it give him nightmares?
I don't know.
What child has Scooby-Doo nightmares? Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
I don't. Same one that has.
Violent for Road.
Our kids never liked the Wizard of Oz because of the flying monkeys and the witch.
Yeah, I mean it's like
liking it because they don't like it, but nightmares because of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I mean they don't. Yeah, they don't want kids to see Yosemite Sam shooting at Bugs Bunny, but they don't mind them playing Grand Theft Auto. You know.
Yeah.
Can anybody explain that to me? And then let me say this. We've got more fathers right now sitting down and playing games all day long, video games, with their children than when they're supposed to be watching their children, spending time with their children, instead of being outside with their children than ever before.
Well, there's nothing too much wrong with that because that's his way of spending time with them. Because, you know, a lot of these video games are more family interactive, so that's not really a problem to me.
Not Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, well, I'm guilty. No, we don't play Grand Theft Auto. We play Call of Duty. The children play Call of Duty, but not too much. He don't allow them to play it too much, but, you know.
Call of Duty? Wow.
Not online, but they're allowed to play it, but he don't let them play it too much. But he plays it with them in Metal Gear Solid. My daughter actually beat the first game, so I don't think nothing's wrong with that.
I don't think it's good. And I'm not going to say, I say it out loud. I don't think that's good. But then, you know, Tom and Jerry being too violent is just crazy to me. I'm like, excuse me? It's a rat and a mouse. A dog on a chain.
What about Tweety and Sylvester?
Too violent.
You know, it was kind of getting frustrating. I fear that they're softening the children up. Life is tough.
Life is tough. And they need
to know
this. And it's crazy. They're softening these children up.
Did she go away?
I think she went to break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I don't know why they want to make these kids so soft and weak.
That's what they're doing. That's exactly what I was thinking about this. It's so funny. I was sitting down here yesterday, and I was like, if anybody could have told me anything when I was younger, is you got to be tough.
I'll put it to you like this, man. Some of the stuff that I had to go through when I was coming up, you know, it made you tough. It made you tough. I mean, it was like, you know, you got to be a man, so these are the things that a man does. So guess what? This is right now. You practicing?
Hey, Sal.
Yeah.
The media isn't talking about something. Vladimir Putin gave a speech a while back, pointing out the fact that American kids are getting soft. So what he did was he waged a campaign in elementary schools to have more of a boot camp type of gym class atmosphere for them, along with their education. And he's doing it,
man. I'm gonna tell you. I think back on Marine Corps boot camp, and I'm going to tell you that the best thing that ever happened to me was Marine Corps boot camp. And I'm going to also say this,
the worst thing that ever happened to me was Marine Corps boot camp.
Yeah, but I knew a lot of guys that growing up that went to boot camp. I know some guys that actually went to a prison, like a scared straight thing. They went to prison because they kept getting in so much trouble at an early, you know, at such a, you know, in their teenage years. It was crazy, but I think they're softening these children up. I really do.
And again, you go back to these commercials and on these TV shows. I mean, they're just trying to just push that narrative of making kids weak and soft and make and empowering and making them in charge at the same time. You know.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, for people who have children, understand. You know, like I know I was being a little silly, being like they're demons and stuff. But people, you know, if you have children, you understand what I'm saying. You know, but it's important that you discipline them. It is.
A lot of those writers, creators, and these they don't. A lot of them are single, young. They don't have any kids. They're just making up stuff. And it's funny.
How many times
did you get hit in the head with the dodgeball, Alabama? Because I know I got hit. I know I done got stung several times, and I'm not mentally.
This is Eric in Ohio.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that, Eric. But, yeah,
I've been hit myself.
I mean, if you don't move fast enough, you knew. You had to move or get off the court.
And I mean, I had a skateboard back in the day. We didn't have all these elbow pads and helmets and all that stuff.
Nah.
And I was doing the same kind of sprints they were trying to do now.
Well, you know, that's about the people getting hit in the head and, you know, all that. But they're trying to change the age of football. They're trying to say a certain age children shouldn't be allowed to play football.
Shouldn't be allowed to play, exactly.
Yeah, because I think you could be like as young as 6 or 7 playing football. I know I was going to put my son in it. And they was talking about the age limit is going to change for football. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
They tried that here in Ohio, but Northeast Ohio, football is a religion. That ain't going to happen.
Now, I do remember when I was playing football as a kid, there was one team that I could not play on because the league had a weight limit. And if you weighed more than a certain amount, you couldn't play. And I was way over that weight, so I had to go to a different league.
Yeah, I just think my son should be in football. he needs to be something. This boy is too much, I'm telling you. Sometimes I have to, like, sit him down in one spot. If I sit him down in one spot, he'll go to sleep. That's how much I have to calm him down. Crazy.
Yeah, it seems like football is definitely a good choice for him.
Yeah, because their grandmother, their father's mother, will always tell me, she was like, you know, if they anything like their father, I feel sorry for you. She was telling me how he was when he was younger. And I was like, these kids act just like this man. This is crazy.
Yeah, put him on the football field. Let him get it all out. He'll come home and sleep like a baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's 3
sure.
Now, but they keep talking about the age. I hope they don't change it. I really hope they don't. I plan to put all my children in sports. I don't know what my daughter's going to do. She keeps screaming cheerleading, and Daddy is like, no. Daddy's like, no. No cheerleading.
And that's one of the big advantages of living down here in the South. You know, you can have nice big yards, and you can send them outside, you know, and let them play.
And that's what we did all day.
Get out of energy.
Yeah, I do miss that part of the South. South is always beautiful around this time, and yeah, I do miss that part. Because that's all we did was sports anyway. But you know, I just see a different life in the city, man. I swear, it's such a cultural shock almost. The lifestyle of the parents and the children, the materialism, just the parenting in general is like shocking. Like what? Yeah.
Think about it. We ate fast food. We ate Twinkies. We ate candy all day long. Yet, there weren't probably that many overweight kids.
Hey, Eric, we even ate chicken fried in lard, man.
We used to drink water out the sink.
Water out the hose. Ah, man, this is absolutely crazy.
like you said, we had the fields, man. So we would play football from sunrise to sunset in the summer.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But what's crazy is I lived in the city. I mean, I lived in the city, and I just don't see me at that time staying up there raising kids. It would have been way too difficult.
I mean, there is great schools. There is great stuff out here. You have to know how to find it, depending where you live at. Where I'm at, it's just like I said. It's just New York City is just as. I think what I see personally, I think the mothers try to make up for the lack of the father being there, or you know what I'm saying? That's what I think is going on with a lot of these mothers that I see. Like the father's not there, so they like. It's real psychological. Like they treat their son like their man. It's really deep.
Yep. Yeah. That's part of the theory that I'm working on. It's called emotional parenting.
Yeah.
You know, and
teach them leave them kids alone.
Hey, we're back. And if you want the number 347-945-5229, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're at 17 days past the first day of September 2014. We're in the ninth month, so we are trucking into the fall. It's a beautiful day outside, and hopefully we'll have this as a continuum as we go forward. Got Sticks in the studio right now, and I'm listening to Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. If anybody wants to call me and tell me what the heck they were talking about in this song, I'd appreciate it because I wasn't a rocker in school.
I got a pretty good idea.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the homogenization of people, using the schools to homogenize human beings. Look at the video. Everybody's the same. Everybody's dressed the same. And if you listen to the...
Stolen Green.
Yeah.
I'm glad you explained that to me.
Well, if you listen to certain professional educators, they'll tell you that's the purpose of education is to make everybody the same.
I'm in trouble. I don't conform well.
No, me neither.
I don't conform
does not,
well.
Remember when you were in grade school, you had that plays well with others on your yeah.
Yeah.
I always got a U in that.
I don't play well with others. I don't know why. I try. I really try. I really try hard, but I don't. It's not. I'm not a conformist. I never have been, and I guess I never will be. I have my own brain, I think.
Which is why I choose to live where I live, because I wouldn't do well if I had to live in a neighborhood where they told me what color I had to paint my house and when I had to cut my grass and all that other stuff that goes with living in certain suburban neighborhoods.
Got to come to the city. Hey,
no.
The number's 347-945-5229. And we were talking about Adrian, and we were talking about raising children.
Wrong Adrian.
A mentee's out there, South Carolina, Stanley, and 336, your mic is on. Good morning. Who else is out there? South Carolina. Eric is out there from Warren. And we want you to join the conversation. Please do. I have problems, and I don't know how to help this young man. Because I feel compelled to try to do something to help this young man, to let him know that there are people that are standing with him, that love him, and that don't want to see him used as an example with this. And I really do. This is bothering
end. Look at everything that's happening around us. I mean, they just announced yesterday that they're going to send Tony Stewart's case to a grand jury.
Who's Tony? Tony Stewart, the kid that hit the kid. Hold on.
The race car driver that hit the kid that decided to run down in the middle of the racetrack.
So why are they going to take it to? Why are they taking that to? Listen here. Let me say it this way. Listen, y'all. Hear me close. You're always talking about you don't have money. And, you know, it takes money to indict someone. It takes money. You have prosecutors and you get lawyers. It costs money to indict someone. You just don't go to court and indict someone for the sake of indicting them to make people feel good. That's not what the court system's for. Legislating from the court is not what it's for. It is to make sure that people get due process when you think that they've done wrong. Standing up in the middle of a NASCAR track race, getting out of your car and pointing your finger at somebody, and he's going, how fast was he going, Sticks?
Probably 40 miles an hour.
It's kind of hard to do. You stand in the middle of the freeway, and they're doing 65 miles an hour. See what you get. Yes, Eric, good morning.
Hey, Tracy, it's like Sticks said. It's coming soon to a neighborhood near you. In this case, coming soon to your favorite sport near you. Now they're going to punch this guy.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to make a neighbor out of him.
Well, Goodell's hired four women to address this massive spousal abuse problem they have in the NFL.
And listen, I got done telling y'all they don't even have black people that drum at the football games. And you want to tell me now they figured out they don't have women? They went after Romney because Romney says he actually has women inside of a binder. So that if he needs one, and because when he looks around the room and he doesn't see diversity, he has a readiness to go and get one. And they demonized him for that. Shut up!
Yeah.
I just thought I'd get that out.
Tony Stewart didn't do anything wrong, period.
No. They just want to make his life a living hell. It ain't right. You don't do that to people just because of public opinion.
He got run over.
He should have, and he knew to stay in the car. No dummy stands in the middle of a NASCAR racetrack. That's just dumb. That's like standing in the middle of the racetrack at a horse field and thinking you're not going to get hit by a horse.
Go out there and run across 680 during rush hour.
I keep saying it, and what folks don't understand about those type of cars, okay? They track. They don't go around a curve like a NASCAR vehicle. The rear end of these vehicles swing out when they're going around the curve.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, this is stupid.
Well,
this is nothing
and
but
I haven't
emotional.
Watched.
It's based on emotional. It's an emotional frenzy, and we've got to quit doing that. We really do. We need to start doing things from the point of view of logic. You take your facts, review your facts, and go from that.
Would you say?
Yeah, I haven't watched the freeze frame, but I was talking to a guy over at Mid Ohio that races sprint cars, and he said if you watch the freeze frame. The kid actually reached up and grabbed the wing on the car.
Why?
And that's what pulled him under the tire.
Why did he grab the wing on the car?
Because he was being a smart aleck. He was trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, well, that's an open wheel vehicle. That's an open wheel vehicle, and that was a recipe for disaster there.
So why are they going to open up a grand jury for that?
Not to mention he's wearing an all-black racing suit at night.
And if anybody's been to a dirt track, a half-mile dirt track with the dust and everything, it's hard to see. It really is, even with the stadium lighting. But it's all emotion. It's all emotion.
So when are we driven by – what is causing us to be driven by our emotions right now?
Feminist ideology, Tracy.
I'll go there.
I don't care – I don't care how much they want to be like men. They can never be like men because they have to fight against their own nature.
That's right.
God has made us that way.
That's right.
I don't care how you do it. The facts are undeniable.
Are you trying to tell me that I'm not a man?
Please tell me when I say this.
Why did they do it?
Hold on, Eric. I just want to make sure that South Carolina is telling me that I'm not a man. Are you telling me that I'm not a man?
You're not a man. You do not approach a situation and problem solving the same way that a man does.
Exactly.
It does not happen that way. Your first reaction is to the emotional, okay? And that takes you to a whole different aspect because feelings can't be manipulated. Facts cannot be manipulated. A fact is a fact.
Nature is nature.
Why can't I be a man?
I mean, by and large, women approach a problem. They form a committee. Men grab a sledgehammer.
But look, I got to go back to why am I not a man? Why can't I be one?
not a bad thing that you're not. It's a problem. Then the emotional aspect of a female is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Because it is there, that emotional side is there to temper the man grabbing a sledgehammer.
Exactly.
You know, when your wife tells you, honey, you probably not ought to do that, usually you ought to listen to her.
But let me say this. I mean, and I'll throw this back at you guys. South Carolina, I don't think that I've got this feeling now that they're not trying to be men anymore. They're trying to make men women.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. The emasculation.
That's the only way it'll work. That's the only way that it'll work for them. They have to do that.
You cannot have a warrior class in a society that you want to be subservient.
And you know,
so you have to destroy the warrior class. We're already demonizing our military when they come home. We're already demonizing our military when they come home as violent and all of this stuff. Go ahead, Sal.
This is how you get socialism to work. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
And what's deep is even these men that's looking like women, they're still men. The way they talk, the way that they think, they're still men. They're not women still. It doesn't even matter.
Yep.
But it's definitely the emasculation of a man. Any man who shows any type of fatherhood, any type of masculinity, he is just quickly emasculated as if that's something very wrong. If a man has ego, you know, it's crazy. And they're putting out birth control for men. I don't know if, did I tell you that already, Tracy?
I saw that.
Next year.
Yeah, I saw that.
I said, oh, there you go.
I'm really concerned. I was watching MSNBC this morning, and there was a woman who is the editor of Essence Magazine. And Essence Magazine is an African American magazine that used to be black owned, that is now owned by Viacom, if I'm not mistaken, and is now a white owned magazine. And she's African American, and she was they were asking her, Mika Brzezinski, with her liberal bleeding heart, was asking her about the Ray Rice and the situation, and she says, I just don't know how women can stand up for Ray Rice. And we're not standing up for him hitting her as hard as he hit her. I think he should have had discipline and he should have had temperament to push her out the way. He should not have done that. It was a bad reaction.
Right.
But again, no one has asked them, it's nobody's business. No one knows what was really going on there. And here we go again. We don't know. As I said earlier, when Sticks, if he is an abuser, unless you're really, really dumb, if he has whipped you before and he is a person who is abusing you, abusers don't spit on their abuser.
That's right.
Abusees.
Because if abusees spit on the abuser, you know you're going to get abused. They're not that dumb. That's a dum-dum.
Dum-dum-dum-dum.
Dum-dum-dum. They got a problem. They got a spitting contest problem. That's a problem. And they need to go to counseling for that. But she needs to go to counseling for that, too. So I hope they're putting both of them in counseling so both of them can stay spit-free. But when we talk about men, and this is just not black men. It's men in general. They don't want men to be men. They don't want testosterone to reign. And I don't see why we're not calling foul for this. And you don't see any men, I guess because they don't have the organizational effort like women do. Because y'all need to start it now. Or not, non.
Too busy working, Tracy.
Tracy, mm-hmm. There's a woman who wrote a book. Her name is Ro Ilori Cutno. And her book is called Man Leads. And in her book, she basically speaks about masculine and feminine energy. And one of the number one things she speaks about in her book is, you know, don't emasculate men. And she said what she's about is for women to be women and for men to be men, but more so for women to be women and us being okay and being allowed to be that. And I see everything she's talking about now in that book. It's called Man Leads. But it's not just about man leading. It's about masculine and feminine energy and how to balance it back so we can all get along and to save this world.
Because I'm really concerned. I am. I need a man. I don't want a wuss.
The National Organization for Men will be considered sexist. You have to understand that.
Oh. Y'all not allowed to organize, huh?
No.
Well, I don't know why not. We organize. We got all kinds of organizations.
Book clubs, everything.
We start a man bash anytime, and we teach our children that.
Yeah.
We organize the man bash. Y'all just don't know how bad we talk about you.
It would be nothing more than an abuse of support group for abusers and child beaters.
How long are we gonna put up with that? I mean, seriously, because, I mean, what will happen if we lose our male class, if we lose men? Y'all help me out with that.
Well, I tell you what, Tracy. You see it very, very actively, or very, very real in church. When the men stop coming to church, the tyrant, which is can very easily take over. If all men become women, then they can easily allow a tyrant to take over. Plain and simple.
South Carolina, look how we feminized Jesus Christ. We don't preach running the money changers out of the temple. We don't preach sell your cloak and buy a sword.
Well, you know, you have to realize, and I'm going to take a break in just a second, but you have to realize that because of the emotion of women, men give on logic, women give on emotion. So a woman will go and she will empty out her purse based upon a conversation or a sermon. A man will say he's going to give $20 in church, and when he gets there, he gives the $20 and walks away. And so dealing with, because remember, it was Eve that was beguiled by the enemy,
mm-hmm.
not the man. He just straight up disobeyed, following her.
Right.
Well, Tracy, wasn't Jesus the carpenter? But,
pardon me?
Wasn't Jesus the carpenter?
Yes.
Okay, why do we show men on commercials being buffoons that can't use power tools?
Because we don't believe that Jesus was real.
and Tracy.
Yes, Stanley.
I'm so happy you're having that discussion and everything, but it's been coming from a long time. When, as men, we come with facts and we come with telling you don't be emotional and come with fact, we can't even talk about fact. If we tell you that this is the reason that you got cheated, this is the reason you got played, this is the reason this, women don't want to hear it. Women says that, no, I don't want to hear the logic of it. I want to go with my emotion. I want to go with what I feel. And that's one thing that men are strong about, telling you, like, this is the reason this is happening. But
we're trained that way. Remember, we're indoctrinated that way. That's what I'm saying. They're training me as a woman to not depend upon a man for anything except for moving furniture and sex.
Right.
And then they're trying to get to the point that I don't even need him for that.
And women are hardwired to operate on emotion.
Yeah, and now men are waking up. There's a lot of men. There's a group called MGTOW, whatever, that men are saying, you know what? We don't need you either. There's many men that are saying, you know what? We don't need you. You don't need us. You know what? We don't need you either. And many men are deciding to say, we don't need you.
Oh, absolutely. No. Absolutely. Men, absolutely. There's tons of them.
So,
I mean, there's tons of men that don't want women anymore. And they don't, and they're not always gay.
Yeah, they're not gay. They're just saying, you know what? What's the point? Why am I going to get a woman? 70% of divorce is women, and this I could lose my livelihood. I could lose what I worked on. I could lose just because a woman feel like, oh, I feel this way. No, I don't want that.
Yeah, that's very important to people. You know that.
But that's an American thing, you know. American women.
Hold on, Nancy. What'd you say, Eric?
I think it's very important. Stanley's right. You have to understand, these men are not gay men. They're fed up with the feminist ideology.
Yeah, they're stepping up and they're saying, no, it's getting bigger. The MGTOW, when you listen, you just do research on YouTube, MGTOW, they're putting case after case after case, and a lot of men are saying, you know what? Why should I be with you?
You can have your, you have more, you have more power than me when it comes even to birth. And three nights ago, I had a debate with 10 men, and there was two women, and everyone was telling me, no, you're crazy. It takes two to do a child and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I have no problem with that. But the final decision is on the women. It's not on me. She was completely jeopardized all my life. Because she
you know how I feel about that. I have a problem when it takes two to make a baby and one to decide whether to have it or not.
Right.
I have a major issue with that.
I agree with that. But Stanley, the sad thing is my wife is my best friend. She's my confidant. She's my helpmate. And if we're getting away from that type of a relationship between men and women, the society is going to crumble.
Okay,
she's my business partner.
Let me tell you something.
I know what you're saying.
Let me tell you what's going on now, and I've got to take my break. We are going into partnerships like business.
Yeah.
So you have the Bill and Hillary Clinton business. So I know you're going to do what you do, and I'm going to do what I do, but we have a business arrangement together. Now, we're married, and we're going to share our grandchildren together, and, you know, the love that we are friends. But this is based on more business than it is upon more emotional oneness.
Yeah.
That's how we're negotiating the deal of marriage now, or commitment.
And it's going back to the way
it was in the Middle Ages.
Pretty much.
We're going to arrange our marriages
based upon where we're trying to achieve.
Okay.
And if we can achieve now, and so now, if I'm going to run around on you, you know that I have, you know, I'm going to have women on the side. You know that, right? And as long as you know that, and as long as you don't embarrass me, and get me and ruin our arrangement, we won't have a problem. That's why I'm saying Hillary won't run for office.
And like I'm saying, Six, you are very lucky if you have that kind of woman you can call as a best friend and everything, because I'm trusting you. If you put men and women, and there's been I think there was a survey that asked women, would you remarry that person that's supposedly your husband now, 5 years or 6 years? 70% of women said, I wouldn't marry him back if I knew what happened now.
I believe that.
At 5 years? Yeah. Oh, I believe that at 5 years, but try at 25.
No, because people are getting married. People are getting divorced at 20 and 30 years now. Seriously.
That's just plain stupid.
That's what I said.
Cheaper to keep her.
Absolutely. But
they make two bedrooms, you know. Lawyers cost a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know,
if you've been married that long and all the kids are out of the house.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure it out. People are getting married, divorced at 20 and 30 years. South Carolina.
There is the aspect that is happening now in America, and that is it is more beneficial financially for you to divorce when you get to your age of retirement, you receive more money. It is actually a disadvantage to be married.
So two Social Security checks are more than one married.
So are you telling me at my age, since I'm getting ready to get my AARP card, that I need to just stay single? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I said. I said most people that have been married for 35 years, and when they reach retirement, it's beneficial for them to get the divorce and live. They live together, but not. I mean, they stay in the same household, but they don't. But they're not considered married. They're considered divorced.
And I have heard a lot of church weddings being done in retirement communities, but they never do the legal paperwork. For the same reason.
Right.
Now that I've heard, because you have to realize, if I'm retired and I marry you, I lose my pension possibly and my Social Security, which is a problem.
Right. It can be cut.
It'll be cut, but you can lose your pension, because if your pension came from your spouse,
deceased spouse,
right, that will go away when you remarry.
Right.
So I can see that.
Yeah,
267, your mic is on.
Yeah. Also, if you are outside of the years when you can reproduce, it's probably not beneficial for a person to marry because that person is probably used to a certain lifestyle. So if they're over the age of 50 and they haven't been married, it's probably best for them to stay in that single lifestyle that they've probably been accustomed to.
Why?
Are you speaking to someone who's been divorced?
Because that's probably better for their emotional
health, or somebody who's never been
and
married.
And their psychological health for them to stay in that single mode because they're not used to actually living with someone else.
John, I will say this. Statistics show people who are married live longer. They have happier lives.
It just seems that way.
They have happier lives.
They claim married
lives.
Men live longer, and it just seems that way.
No, they live longer. Companionship gives you stability and gives you longer life.
It's
really
true.
Does.
Married people eat better. They exercise more.
They care more.
Yeah.
Even though marriage
probably,
is tough.
But you can be in a you can have a companion. But the person doesn't have to be married to the individual in terms of, like, you don't have to have a marriage license or anything between you and your partner, but probably any individual can have a companion outside
of
marriage.
Okay, let me say it to you this way. I will say it to you this way. There is a union that comes with marriage that you cannot replicate in living together or having companions just on the side. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
But usually when people reach 50 years old, they're outside of their reproductive years. So it doesn't make sense for them to try to marry someone because they can't have children. So it's best to just have your companion.
Doesn't always mean children, you know. You don't always have to have children because two people are married. They can be focused on their career and just themselves and, you know, in the relationship. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to have children.
Yeah, get a younger wife.
Huh?
Get a younger wife.
Well, but even with a man, his sperm count starts to go down after the age of 40. So, you know, a lot of people say that men can have children at practically any age. That's not always true because some men, their sperm counts, it starts to decrease between the ages of 40 and 45, and sometimes it's very difficult for them to have children after they reach a certain age as well.
See, when it comes, you know, I believe heavy in God. Like, if two people really want children, I believe they can make it happen. If they really, really want those babies, they can make it happen. I mean, I hear what you're saying after 40 and stuff, but, I mean, I know men now who are after 40, 50, and they've made children. You know, I don't think
that's but the only thing I'm saying is, you know, based upon what I've seen, it's much more difficult in terms of the sperm count starts to decrease because everybody thought that it was just the female who wasn't able to have children after a certain age. But what they have found scientifically is that the man starts to decrease, like, in terms of his ability to reproduce.
One woman can't have as many babies as one man can produce. But a man just has to keep themselves in physical shape.
Right. Thank you, Peter.
And they can chase as many women or young ladies around as they want to.
But the whole thing is that every man doesn't have the same level of health. And every man's health is not the same. But just taking a consensus, when they look at large samples of people, they find that the sperm count in men starts to decrease after the age of 40.
That's because they don't keep themselves in shape.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Philadelphia. There's the difference between Strom Thurmond's first child and Strom Thurmond's last child was 53 years.
But that's Strom Thurmond. That's not every man out there. That's just him.
But I have a tenant that have a 6-year-old child. Okay?
Yeah.
And he is 78 years old.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the term
old man baby?
But that's more of an exception to the rule. Anytime you see situations like that, that's more an exception to the rule.
You
know how all this stuff comes about? It comes from the fact of people smoking, people not taking care of themselves, just like what Pianki's saying. For me, I feel like a man can produce a baby just like a woman can have a baby until menopause.
Yeah.
You got to understand something about black families, and I'm not trying to make this a race thing, but this is
And then also the age of menopause changes
like 50
as well.
Years old pushing a baby and pregnant. It's always that way.
Yeah.
And I tell you what,
daddy,
I know.
Your daddy will be in his 60s and he'll have another baby. You like, daddy, really? This is something that we've grown up seeing in our family. That's something natural. But with birth control and all these type of things, it hinders that. And especially with birth control for men, it's really going to hinder that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very physically attracted to black women, especially those that wear dresses.
But also the ages of menopause varies as well,
yeah,
among females.
It varies because I've seen women like 50 years old in their 50s and pregnant. So, yeah, it does vary. Just like her getting her menstrual and her ending her menstrual is always different for the women. Most of the time it goes by the cycle of your mother or your grandmother. Women tend to – that's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
But you know what, admitting here we got
a genetic thing.
Here they got a club that does a old school, a dance club. Man, these sisters is coming out dressed, looking all nice and everything, and dancing to the Temptation and Smokey Robinson and that. I just be looking.
We talking about line dancing?
No, it ain't line dancing. It's the bop.
Oh.
And just plain dancing.
There was a club like that when I was living in Detroit, and trust me, these older women were not. I mean, they were tight now.
Man, they attractive, man. Just had this gleam to their eyes and their legs all shined up like brand new quarters, man.
Yeah, because you know what? I realized, like, when a woman hits 30, it's like you become a woman. You know what I mean? Like you everything about you begins to
29.
Shift.
Call
so
right
like,
now
you become
to talk
a woman.
To Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Yeah.
We're back. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm sitting here in studio with Six, and we were talking about the emasculation of men. And it's really amazing because, you know, I watch a lot. I listen a lot. I go around a lot. I have a lot of conversations after I leave out of here. And I'm a little bit everywhere. And I don't hear people having the conversation about this kind of thing and what's happening to our men, what's happening to our the backbone and the seed of the land and what makes a life a life. It seems as though they have just erased that, like it's not there and it's not important. Then, you know, I tell people, you know, you have to have a seed. If you don't have a seed, you cannot make anything. It is imperative that you have to have a seed. You know, for you to have a fruit, you got to have a seed. And if you take all the seeds out of the equation, you can do nothing with the land. You can do nothing with the ground. And as you look at America, as you look at the world right now, and the emasculation of men and the feminization of society, I don't think we're headed in the right direction. We're walking away from men who are. I'm looking for a man to be protective. He's supposed to protect me. He's supposed to cover me. He's supposed to be there for me. He's supposed to support me. And we are taking all that away, and I think of South Carolina, he was telling me that I can never be a man. And I don't think we understand that with all of the lesbianism that is going on in the world right now, for some reason we believe that women can become men, and I hate to tell you, you can wear all the suits you want, you can butch up all you like, it won't work. That does not make you a man. Hey, the phone lines are open, guys. How you guys doing in there?
Okay.
Doing great. I love the show, Tracy. You know, the topics that you bring up, you know, it's important to talk about. And I'm glad that you do that.
I like the way she presents it. I really do like the way you present the topic.
Yeah.
And not only the way you present the topic, but the way you draw out there supporting criteria to present your topic?
What do you mean? I mean, I just, you know, something just gets under my skin and I just go with it. I mean, I study and I read and all that kind of stuff, and I'm serious. I, as I look around, I'm so very, very concerned. I don't think you guys know how concerned I am for my future and for the future of my children and my children's children and tomorrow.
No,
you know, when
I look around,
I'm concerned. I'm concerned.
Especially the way you...
It's reason
especially
to be concerned.
When you elaborate on Larry, like you elaborated on Ray Rice, the fact that a spitter won't spit on someone who has abused him because they didn't like to be abused last time. So that's very, very, very interesting of you.
You can't,
Tracy,
I mean,
I really appreciate it.
I mean, seriously. I mean,
not
me
on the subject, but I'm talking about your skill and the way you delivered that.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just saying, I'm looking at that going, you know, if you get ready to beat me, I mean, I have been in fear of people. And if I know you, I can get beat, I'd be stupid to spit. That's just dumb.
Well, now they're talking about this Adrian Peterson. You're accusing him of child abuse.
He hit him with a tree branch.
Evidently, he's got, like, more than one, like, in terms of a mother to his children.
Correct.
And evidently, he was talking to one of the mothers on the phone, and she accused him of beating her son. She saw bruises on the son.
No,
and they were having a telephone conversation, and the NFL got a hold of the recording of the conversation. And in the conversation, the mother
was
saying there were bruises all over the boy's head and face.
No. Now, listen, there was a story behind it. There was a young man. He was in his car. And the young boy was acting up, and he turned around and began to spank him while he was in the front. And I've had that experience because I got hit around in the back seat of the car because I wouldn't sit still to do something, put my seatbelt on or whatever it was I was not doing. And because he wouldn't sit still and because he was moving all over the place, he hit his head on the side of the door. And that's what happened with that. Because Adrian, from what I've read and from what I've been reading, he has been very, very forthcoming. He told the baby mama, listen, if you see some welts on him, I did it because this is what he did. Straight out.
You know, I've done
he
that one time, too.
Just like a daddy would. Simple as
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So if you have any questions,
done that
you know,
one
he
time.
Didn't get it falling down, I did it. Would you
now,
say Pianchi?
I've done that one time to my daughter and also done that one time to a neighbor's daughter's son that I was transporting in my car. He done the acting up in the back seat. So I just parked over on a parking lot. Matter of fact, it was right over there in Ferguson. I parked over him. Opened the back door, pulled him out, and smacked him on his butt two or three times with my hand. And he got him back in there. Man, he powdered up and rolled his eyes, but, you know, he learned from it.
And wait a minute, and he came back the next day, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't go away. But you
know
what? Hey, wait a minute. Listen at this. Listen at this now. She was in her car. This was Tasha, the mother. And she parked someplace else, and some stranger came and stole the car with the kid in the back seat. And they drove, Tracy, about maybe 3 miles and got out, put the boy off on the side of the road and kept on going in the car. I guess he couldn't stand the kid neither.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
I'm just
from,
saying. They're...
But from living in the neighborhood, I can tell you it's a lot of child abuse going on out here. Sometimes you see these mothers and they're beating these toddlers to death at the
bus stop.
Like in terms of the different agencies, the child type agencies, they have to work overtime to try to prevent these children from being abused inside some of these homes that are in these low-income neighborhoods.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Listen, child abuse is real. But when you see child abuse has many, many symptoms. There's a difference between discipline and correction and child abuse. And there are major differences. And you have to know, you have to be able to go in and investigate the difference. If you're seeing your kids, when you go, yes, but let me say this. When you go into a school district and the child never comes to school with a coat on, or he doesn't have socks on, or his clothes is not clean, there's a problem there that you need to check out.
Right.
Usually, if a child goes to school all the time, and the child is hungry, Yes, Eric.
Right. Yeah, usually, learning that's going on in the school.
Usually when that's brought up, like what John described, that child's probably also being malnourished. Like you said,
absolutely,
coming to school with dirty clothes and everything else.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or the child could be overfed too, Tracy.
Well, that too. But I'm just saying, if you have children,
hold on, guys.
But no, listen. I can't. We can't make them not stop going to McDonald's and stop eating Cheetos, and that's a whole other issue. But when you're looking at domestic violence, or not domestic violence, but child abuse, there is a pattern there. When you look at Rihanna got her butt beat. So when they put that picture up of her, she got beat down. Her eyes were closed. There's a difference between a switch and somebody that you've been hit with something that causes a bruise. I've never been bruised by my mother. I've had welts from a switch. I've had pain from a belt. I've had cracks from an extension cord, but I've never had a bruise that turned black and blue. That's never happened.
But you know what, Tracy?
You wouldn't get a bruise unless somebody hit you with a closed fist.
Hang on for a second there, John.
That's what I'm saying.
Discipline a child is an art that has to be taught to a younger person. They have to learn. It has to be supervised the first couple of times it's done. I never, after maybe the two or three times, I can't count, that my daughter was disciplined, she was always disciplined on her legs. You never hit her on her body. Now, when I was disciplined, I got hit on my butt, my back, every place else. But disciplining a child is an art form that has to be taught to a young parent, because a young parent, as we are seeing evidence that are not taught, all sorts of things happen to these children.
But again, but if you look at this young,
parenting has to be passed down through generations.
If you look at where this young boy has been hit, and he's 4 years old, but if you look, he was hit on the back of his legs by his buttocks. You can see that there was a knowledge here of what he was doing. And somebody told me the other day, well, he should have hit him with his hand. No, he couldn't hit him with his hand. You don't hit children with your hand, because if you hit your child with your hand, that causes bruising, and your hand is a whole lot heavier. It's like trying to feel the warmth of water with your hand. You've got to use your arm to do that.
Let me ask you, Tracy, here's how bad it is. The media is already trying to spin this, because there's a picture of the child. He's got bandages all over his face and everything else. It's ridiculous. He wasn't even hit there.
Correct.
What they were trying to say was bruises on the boy's face, where he was hitting him with his hand in his face.
And that's not true.
On his forehead.
That was not true. Now, that was the other son. The other son that hit his head on the car door. Remember, he has two sons by two different women.
Yeah.
And there was one son who got hit in the door because, as I said, he was hitting him and chastising him from the front seat to the back seat, and the kid was moving around in the back seat and hit his head somewhere on something in the back, which caused him to get hit in the head. But the spanking part of it, I mean.
But they're showing him as a kid that was beaten, though. That's how they're spinning the story.
You can't do that. That's a problem. And that's what I'm saying. They're moving the story into the direction that they don't want people to play on their emotions. It's just like with the Ferguson case. You don't hear anything else about that right now, but you don't understand that they were trying to create a sensationalism for a revolt before you even knew the facts of anything. And they keep on doing this inside of the communities so that they can get an outrage, but they do the same thing with voting.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they said that they're going to put y'all back in chains, and people stood in line to go vote because no one was excited about standing in line to vote again. And so they struck them in motion.
And now they're going to give out free weed. So now they can say, look, vote for the Republicans. They're going to take away your free weed.
Correct. And so that is a problem. And because they're playing on the emotions of people, it incites fear. And fear makes people do things and not think about it. Fearful people are not irrational. They don't think about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And because they say that they're Democrat, and because they say that they're this, they go and just push a lever. And right now, in the state of Ohio, they get ready to vote for Donald Duck as governor of the state.
Mm. I think the elections in November, you're going to get a lot of Republicans to come into office, and that's going to make Obama a lame duck president.
John, you're going somewhere else. I said they're going to vote for Donald Duck. I'm not going into the midterms. I just said Donald Duck because we got Donald Duck running for governor. He is Donald Duck in a suit. I'm serious. Anybody that votes for the governor who's running against our current governor, he's really Donald Duck. And when I say Donald Duck, he is someone that you would really not want to have in that position. How do you have a learner's permit?
For 12 years.
For 10 years.
Only 10 years.
For anybody.
Right. He has been on his own flight. He's been an administrator. He's been riding around in government cars on a learner's permit. How do you keep a learner's permit for 10 years straight? How do you have insurance?
Well, maybe he had bad eyesight. He didn't want to get a regular driver's license. Maybe he got eyesight problems.
It's against the law in Ohio to have a learner's permit for 12 years.
Then you have a driver. Remember, you have ways to get around it, but you don't have a learner's permit. Get caught at 4 o'clock in the morning with somebody in the car who's not your wife, and that's how we find out that you got a learner's permit.
That was his driver.
That's what I'm saying. That wasn't his driver. You got to have a licensed driver in the car. But I'm just saying he's Donald Duck. But instead of us looking at the rationale of it, we've got people that are indicted that are running, and we're going to vote for them. I'm not trying to hold anything against anyone. I'm just saying this is how they play on people's emotion. Instead of giving them information, they give them a warm fuzzy. And that and 50 cents will get you absolutely nothing. Not even a newspaper, maybe, but not on Sunday.
Well, I think the state of Pennsylvania is going to go to a Democratic governor because Republican governor wouldn't fund the schools properly. And he's raising people's property taxes, and the people are pissed off in Pennsylvania.
But, John, you're going somewhere else. We're on child abuse. We're talking about Adrian. I'm talking about just playing on emotion. The issue is it's emotional. The question is, are we being moved by our emotions? Right now, I don't see anybody standing up for Adrian Peterson. And, see, you got all these wackies all over the TV, and they're demonizing this man like he did something so egregious that he can't function anymore. So he was going to play Sunday, but they decided that he can't play anymore because you got Wacky D and Wacky Doodle talking about he can't play because he's an abuser because he beat his children with a tree branch. That wasn't a branch. That was a switch. And if you don't like corporal punishment, and as I said to Stanley, I understand everybody has their own experiences. And if your experience is bad, then I expect for you to do things differently, and that's good, and that's okay. But I had a good experience with a switch now that I look back in retrospect, because at the time it wasn't good. And as I said earlier, what switches did for me is when the police would pick me up, I tell them to take me to jail, because taking me home was not an option. Because if you called home, I was going
to
be in big trouble.
Tell
me to take me to jail. That's how that rolls. That's what a switch does. And actually, if you look at our children, especially in the black community, they need to go back to disciplining them again to the way they fear their parents, and they do the right thing, and they have respect for authority. So now when the police pull me over, I say, yes, sir, what can I do? I'm sorry. Let me give you my license and my registration. It kept me out of jail. It kept me from doing things I had no business doing. That's how we raise children. That's how we become productive in America. Ain't no time out. My mama gonna put me in time out for 5 minutes. What? I told y'all yesterday I had burned the timeout down. Stand me in a corner. That doesn't work. I got cracked in school. What'd you say, Eric?
They don't respect authority, but they don't know what it is.
That's what I'm saying. And we need to stand up for this young man. Because I don't believe in no way, shape, or form he ever intended to hurt his child. He just didn't want his child to turn out in a bad way. And what is wrong with that? He's probably the kind of father that would take a bullet for his kid. That's what fathers do. Fathers stand in the line of fire for their children, and they cover them and they correct them. And when you listen to his statement, he said, all I did was I was correct my children the way that I was corrected.
Correct.
And you have yet to see him be inside of the news conference. You ain't seen him standing up, come out, I'm drunk driving. He's smoking weed on the corner. He's not doing any of that. He plays football. And quiet as it's kept, for him to be as good as he is, he must be very, very disciplined. Because football is hard. So you want to know how I really feel?
Just having a hard time differentiating the difference between spanking and beating.
I just don't want to see another black man go down in flames because of the left-wing media finds a martyr that they can use for their whipping post. They have yet to whip their own.
Well, they can do no wrong.
I don't see them whipping their own. I don't see them going after their own. I don't see, and I will say this, and I think, Aminti, was that you that says that it doesn't look like they can find any African, anything but African Americans? Was that you, Styx?
What's that?
Hello?
Hold on, John. Who was it that said
that?
That
was me, Tracy.
Because right, how they're painting African Americans to be violent and angry and mad.
Yeah.
Well, they've been doing that a long time. That's not anything new.
Yeah, but it's more and more coming out right now.
Been out there.
But right now, you see how the exposure of this is going. You're right, John. It's been happening a long time, but it's progressing now.
I mean, what's next? I mean, are they going to get caught for eating fast food too much? I mean, it's getting ridiculous.
I mean, like I said, we talked about this last week. But let's look at what happened with Terry. What's his name? Roethlisberger. When he was accused of rape. You don't see the demonization of them.
No.
I don't understand that. Can anybody explain that to me?
Well, it's because you're basically dealing with white supremacy in this society, and, you know, and so therefore white people get a pass. There's definitely a lot of crimes are committed out in these rural counties in terms of murder and rape and everything else, but it's not reported on the news.
What?
They only report the crimes that occur in the urban neighborhoods.
Where in the Sam Hill do you live? Because I'll tell you right now, I have yet to see a murder in Columbiana County that wasn't on the news.
Let me say it this way. In your major cities that are we have four TV stations that cover the Mahoning Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But in your urban areas such as your Clevelands, your New Yorks, your Columbus, the stories that are chosen, you can't cover them all.
Yeah.
You can't cover them all. And so as the stories are chosen,
I can definitely,
unless it's more heinous and or more serial, you will see the ratio of black to white violence is very, very disproportionate, even if they're equal in the day.
I can tell you matter of fact that all of the crimes that occur are not reported on the news of the assailant.
If you really pay attention, you are more apt to see a black face with the crime and a white arm than you just assume the person that was in Columbia that was white, but they will show you the person's mugshot of who is African American. That's been for years.
Yeah.
No matter what.
And also, I can tell you matter-of-factly that all of the crimes that occur in a particular city are not reported on the news. It's a whole lot of things that happen that people on the news don't tell you about.
That's true.
And the only way you would know about it is you would have to know somebody who works at the police department.
There's not enough news hours in the day to report.
Well, I can take a break. I got to take a break, but I'll say it this way. You have, when you look at the news, you can be at the same meeting, and when the report comes out the next day, you'll wonder where the reporter was and why he wasn't at that meeting. I'll be right back.
Yeah, hello? Oh, they must be on break. Yeah, hello?
Well, where'd they go, John?
I don't know. Maybe they're on break. So how are things working out in Ferguson now? Are they still protesting?
Well, there's some campouts across the street from the city hall.
Oh, yeah. They said that the DA was a bias. They didn't want that DA.
He's biased for
the police.
He ain't no good.
Oh.
Highway shutdowns.
Well, what the NAACP was trying to do is trying to get people registered to vote and trying to field some black
candidates.
They already
doing that.
Yeah. If you got a population like that and you don't have any black people who are representatives on the city government, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, see, but the population is recently changed.
Oh, yeah, it recently changed. So basically, the whites who were more of working age, they moved out, right?
The whites of working age been gone a long time.
Oh.
You got old whites in there.
Oh, yeah, right. So majority of the white people that are still there, those people are senior citizens or elderly.
Right.
Yeah.
And set in their ways.
Right, set in their ways. And
that's probably the government kickers too.
Yeah. And you probably have a lot of black men who are probably unemployed in that region too now, right?
Well, not necessarily.
Oh.
But it's a possibility. I couldn't say that they're unemployed because you see people getting up going to work all the time.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of them stay in what was once kind of like apartments, those apartment complexes that were designed for people that's in a certain bracket before they move up into owning their own home.
So you had a lot of people in Section 8 who were getting Section 8 rent, subsidized rent by the government.
Yeah, you got a lot of subsidized apartments.
Yeah,
that's the and that's how the elderly whites in that community want it. You know,
They didn't want that in their community.
And see, a long time ago, North St. Louis, North County, complained to the county commissioner, say, "Why are you putting all these Section 8s in North County where you ain't putting none in South County where whites are?" So, like for instance, if they have a bunch of townhouses, you know, those and villas and so forth like that, well, whites have moved out of them, and because of the policy in St. Louis City of denigrating certain areas, especially the areas that black used to stay in, and causing redlining and all that stuff, making it impossible for them to live and tearing down houses as soon as one becomes vacant. So now they got to move. They're moving into these outskirt areas, these county areas.
Yeah. Well, what they're trying to do, they're trying to gentrify urban areas across the country. They're trying to move a lot of the immigrant populations where the people have some type of graduate degree or they're in some type of profession.
They brought 70,000.
They're trying
they
to move
80,
them
000.
Into the city and trying to move certain.
Hey, can you
white
tell I'm on a guitar thing today?
City.
Yeah, I like guitar.
I'm really stuck on this. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-522. Tonight is 10 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on Wednesday, the 17th of September 2014. Got Sticks in the studio with me, and we're listening to Prince on guitar. Live.
Love Prince.
I've always wanted to be able to do stuff like that. I never wanted to take the discipline and the time to learn it.
Took way too much effort.
Too much work.
Yeah, we've all got a lot of things in our lives we say we'd like to do, but we never wanted to put the effort into.
I can't believe my mom didn't let me play drums when I was a kid. I'd have been a great drummer.
Did you have a garage?
Girls didn't play drums.
Really?
That's what they told me. Girls don't play drums.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
My problem was my parents demanded I learn the piano before I could do anything else, and I hated the piano. So
I wanted to play the drums. Just give me
a piano. That's funny.
I wanted to play piano. I had a piano, but I had to practice, and that was I didn't have time for that. I'm like that lady.
No,
I ain't got time
I,
for that.
Play. It's Hi, just, she took me out of my lessons. It sucks. I really loved it. She took me out. Yep.
I'm hoping that we will be able to. I'm hoping that people will stand up for common sense, and not allow them to demonize our young men like this, and maybe if it was too severe, if that be the case, but don't take him and make him to where he can't have the authority in over his children as he needs. We need men to be fathers. We need it's important that they are there for their children. It is so important. We need and we need them for young ladies. You can't get self-esteem from a woman, but like you get from your dad.
Yeah.
Well,
the father is the first man that the female encounters in the family. So therefore, the father has to be an example to his daughters.
It's been proven time again that women that have a strong relationship with their father are less likely to have premarital sex. They're less likely to have children out of wedlock. They're more likely to not live in poverty. And that cuts across all races.
Steve was talking about children suffering
but,
abuse.
This is not about abuse.
And then let me give the preamble to this. This is not about abuse. This is about correction and discipline and how you correct your children. And if a parent says that I need to discipline my child with corporal punishment, that is a parent's prerogative between them, not between the society at large. And you don't demonize him because you don't like it and you don't understand it. And the cultural difference, and I will say this, there is a massive cultural difference where you fail to realize there is a cultural difference between black and white.
Yeah.
Just because we speak the same language does not mean we have the same culture. And quit trying to make me into something that I'm not. I will never be a European. I will never have that culture. It will never happen.
But you live in a Eurocentric culture, and that's the dominant culture.
I don't care where
culture.
I live. Then you can be dominant, and I don't mind wearing a suit. But when I go home, I have the right to do what's necessary with my children
but
so that they can
be
become productive adults.
But
no,
you have
I don't.
To be able to teach your children to adapt to the dominant culture because
they
that's
can
the
adapt
only
by
way
wearing
that they're going
to
be successful.
Listen, my children will adapt to the dominant culture because they will wear a suit. They will talk the king's English. They will be able to have a work ethic. They will adapt. But when they come home, there is a way that is going to please my family and make them productive so that they can have the discipline. The discipline so they can adapt
right.
to the European culture. Because for some reason,
but
if that be the case, John, if that be the case, we wouldn't have 70% of the inmates in prison looking like me. That means we're not adapting very well.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, that the parents have to teach the children how to adapt to the dominant culture, and they can't, they can push things that are Afrocentric to a certain degree, but they can't make them appear like they're radicals as they go out into the workplace.
You missed the
because
point.
They have to be able to adapt.
They're adapting. The problem is we want them to adapt into a way that is not culturally accepted in our society. It won't work. You can't make – you can't start counting the 10 with a black child. Very, very few, maybe a little girl. But our little boys don't count to 10 very well and then sit down and talk about, mommy's going to get me. That doesn't work. Very, very few. They need to make sure that they know that mom and dad mean serious business early. They need to have the fear, like I said, the correction and the fear that we are grown up with, that when we go to do something, we think and said, oh, you know what, I better not do that because if I have to go home, life could be very, very painful. It could be very, very non-tolerant, and I really don't want to see my mom and my dad after the police pick me up for stealing something that I have no business stealing. I'm not going to do it that way. No, y'all go ahead. I'll catch it with you guys later on. I am not going to be calling my mom telling me to pick me up, my dad telling him to pick me up. I'm not stealing no car. I never snuck out my mama's house, not because I couldn't get out, but I didn't know how to get back in. That's how that works. She never had to worry about me sneaking around like that. That was not my – I didn't do – I did some stuff, but I never do that because I had no idea how to get back in the house.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's so sad is this is going back to the softening. Like, having this conversation seems like abuse, but it's not abuse for a child to discipline or a parent to discipline their children.
No, it's not abuse.
Then you wonder why they walk into a store, steal a box of cigars, and then threaten the owner.
Threaten the owner, and then when the police stop you, then don't stop. Yeah, Pionki. Who called my name?
This is Alabama.
Go ahead, Alabama. Good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah,
I agree with you. They throw my boy under the bus. Go ahead, 318. I'm going to pick you up in just a second. Go ahead, Alabama. Yeah.
Come on, Peterson, Agent Peterson.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of messed up. I mean, honestly, to be completely honest, which is two things, though. You can't send a child to a daycare with whips on his legs.
Why not?
Because the mom would have went to jail. That's how people are nowadays. I mean, it's not
well,
that easy.
Call Children's Service and call me on the phone and let me tell you what's going on and how I correct my child. That's my child. That's my responsibility.
I mean, I get that, but I'm just telling you how power people are nowadays, and these liberals have taken over. But I had to step outside for a second because, man, I don't know what it is about white folks. They love to be cold. My God, I wore shorts to work today? Big mistake.
I had to step outside and thaw out. Alabama, it ain't got nothing to do with white people. I'm sitting in here freezing to death.
What are you trying to say?
Look here, I don't know what it is. They got that air turned on. Absolutely.
It doesn't have anything to do with white people because I've been freezing to death all morning. Tracy's got a sweater. Well, yeah, but you got a sweater and four layers on over there. And
I'm cold.
I got better.
I've been hot all day long.
Well, you're in the minority because most of the time I just noticed that tends to be the situation. So, you get five of us in the room, we're going to be hot because we just always hot anyway. You know that's true.
You know, listen, right now, the doctor said, I told him I was having some problems. He said, I think you're getting ready to go through menopause. I told him you're too young for that, and he fell out laughing. So I'm hot. I can't help it. And I'm sorry. I'm hot. It's hot in here. I'm sitting over here sweating. And I can't help your cold sick. He don't know what it is. He don't understand.
I can take care of menopause.
Shut up, Pionki. 318, your mic is on.
Yes, ma'am. This is John from West Monroe, Louisiana.
Hey, John.
Hey, I was looking at, I heard from another radio show this link. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's on YouTube. It's called FCKH8.
Yes, I did. I do not like it at all.
I was just wondering, have you ever listened to those videos?
Yes, I did. I was not happy at all.
They got 7-8-year-old kids saying F you this to the Republican Party. They got gays, sexual gestures and all that on there. I was like, man, is that even legal?
That's what you call child abuse.
But
they don't want to call that out.
On the LGBT left wing, they exploit kids like that.
I would consider that child abuse.
I couldn't believe that it was legal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, go look at that. That's some hardcore stuff there.
Yes.
What is it called?
FCKH8.
FCKH8.
It's the F word without the U.
Okay.
Man, you would not believe what they got these 7-8-year-olds doing. It was on this... on the radio show I was listening to, and they were talking about they came out with a new one with the black kid with some black
yes.
kids on Ferguson.
Yes,
they
did.
And they would have all the black 7-8-year-olds and stuff, and some a couple of teenagers, but they would make them all sound gay, and they would be, you know, cursing, you know, at the right wing and all that. I mean, and then I looked further into the stuff; they would have like white and Asian kids in there. I mean, 7-8 years old, and just the way they talk, and I mean,
they're teaching young people hatred. Also, they're teaching them racism at a very, very early age. It's really bad. It was really bad.
I don't see how that's legal. How they stay on YouTube like that?
Because it's liberal.
Tracy,
yeah,
you remember that cartoon you watched yesterday on my thing?
Yes, that was good.
Me and my brother.
That was good.
Me and my brother got in a debate about it. He thinks that that means that if a black kid watches that, then he should just give up and go sell dope or something. Which I don't see how he got that.
No, but I will say
and
this:
just like no, it just shows obstacles.
And we need to realize and be honest about the obstacles that come into the life, and other people need to know other obstacles that have come into the life of people of color, to where they start out very, very behind the eight ball trying to succeed. That's why we can't achieve as quickly as anyone else. And when we do achieve, it is like it's far and few between, because it's very, very difficult. And getting access to capital is very, 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 very hard.
I'm over here at West Monroe. I know Phil Robinson from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
One time he got on. I was asked a friend of his because I went to his church one time, but I go to the one on Jackson Street now, but not White Ferry Road. But I asked him. I said, "Do you think GQ they set you up to ask you those questions? They bait you on that question on those homosexuals." I mean. He kind of said it in kind of a rough way, but I think he was set up, and they exploited and put him on national TV.
Yeah, he was set up. They knew what they were. They knew. You have to realize the only foolish question is the one that you don't know the answer to. They knew how he felt. That's the given. But and
like,
you know what? And this is the issue. It's okay for people to do what they do. I don't have a problem however you choose to live. But I have a problem with you making me affirm that how you're living is how everyone else should live and to say it is normal or that it is right. Because there is a difference between right and wrong. And what's happening with society right now, we want to call disciplining our children abuse and it's wrong. But we want to call two men kissing in the street normal and right.
I'm like right. The taxi cab service I work for is just right next door to Duck Dynasty where they got there, man. I mean, they got like at least, it's always crowded. You see all this patriotic stuff and all that going on over there. I knew Phil before he even became a star.
Listen, that's not the conversation of the day, and I don't want to go too far off my topic. I will say this. When it comes to the information, I appreciate you calling about the FCK-88.
Yeah, I was just saying, because, like, man, that's propaganda at its fullest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And most people don't understand that what they're doing is they're teaching hate or they're teaching tolerance of things and brainwashing our children into something that we should not be brainwashing our children into.
But also, I feel like, you know, it's more abuse. Like, there was a sixth grade teacher that was literally sitting on top of tables showing kids how to use a dildo. I think she's gay. That is even more perverted. That's borderline child abuse to me. That's not child molestation. She should do
some
time for that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking for other countries to change over my citizenship.
Hey, Lawrence O'Donnell's done the same thing with that autistic kid with the gay parents. He exploited in the same manner. I mean, not hardcore, but in the same manner. I mean, an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old do not know any better.
And see that I got into conversation last week, and I think most of you guys were on the line when I said a young lady called in. And she said she heard her daughter or her son was transgender at 9 years old. And my question is, how in the world did they know what gender they were at 9? I'm so confused because when I was 9, I had no idea what the heck to do with any of it. So how do you know at 9 years old that you are something that you're not? Who told you that? Where did you learn that from? And why are we teaching our children at that kind of age sexual identities? You are who you 85% are.
85% of those people
straight up and learn.
Yeah.
Hold
on, one at a time. Go ahead, Aminty.
And you know, back to that right there is child abuse, because where's the mindset of the parent or where's the father to sit down and talk to this child about what they're saying or even asking, have you been touched? Did something happen to you? Because that's not normal for a 9-year-old to say that this is what I am. They might a girl may say, you know, I hate being a girl, boys got it easier, or something in that type of way, but not that I am a boy.
How do you know that?
Yeah, I think, Tracy, a lot of them groups, it's just a lot of smoke and mirrors.
at the end of the day, there just aren't that many people like that. They just want to make this big mess about it, so it seems like it is.
No, no, no. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I know a boy who, he was a boy at first, and he became completely transgender, and his mom allowed it. She allowed him to take the hormones.
I have seen this. I've seen that at a very, very young age.
You know what she told him? I always wanted a girl. That's why she allowed it. He had
all the rest. And let me say, I've also seen parents, and they have had a boy, and they've treated this boy like a baby doll girl, and mamas have overshadowed them and feminized them in such a way as a baby, that they didn't know how a young boy was supposed to act. But then that also comes from not having a man around, which
right.
also speaks to the feminization of society.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why a lot of the black men have become feminine, because they haven't grown up with men actually in the home to actually
Correct.
Teach them things that are masculine and so forth. And that's
How
the reason
you
why you see
but there
a
are
predominance
seen,
of black men who are homosexuals.
But I've seen a lot of women. Hold on. I've seen
say,
a lot of women
say,
raise boys. I've seen a lot of women raise guys, and they turn out to be very masculine. Not to say that there is something lacking when you don't have a husband, but I think it speaks volumes that women raise kids and they see, like, just like even with Magic Johnson, he was in the house, but his son is ridiculous.
Woo!
I mean, he's ridiculous.
Yeah,
his son is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that Magic walking out there kissing Isaiah Thomas way back in the 80s, turned up with HIV. We don't know what, and I ain't trying to be funny, but I don't know what this child saw at a young age. He come out here at 22, 23 years old, 25. Homosexual. I mean, he's flaming.
I think Magic was bisexual for a long time.
Hey guys, I don't want personal attacks like that. And I will say this: I don't know the proclivities of men.
That wasn't
so
a personal attack, really.
But no, listen, what I'm saying: people do what people do. And let me say, and I'll put it to you this way: I consider Magic a colleague, a friend of mine, or an affiliate of mine. I do. And I wouldn't let them talk about you. But I will say this, because I don't know the proclivities of men. I don't know what they do. But I will say this: his son is flaming, and it's his son, and I know that he loves his son. But we need to go back to, you don't know. Look at Michael Jackson, and I know too much backstory there. But look at Michael Jackson; he was very, very effeminate, sickening effeminate. And we have
and
more
there
and
stories
more
about
young men
him
who are growing up
too.
That way. And pardon me?
I said there have been stories about him with men as well. Michael Jackson having relations with men.
There was things that were going on. We have to understand that if you look at our young ladies, how they've been raped. I've talked to men, not young men, but men who have been raped by women. They have been raped. They've lost their innocence at a very, very young age. By their babysitters or by their Sunday school teachers, because their parents trusted them to come and take care of their child. And while they were taking care of their child, what they were doing was they were emasculating them and taking away their childhood and their manhood from them.
Yeah, Tracy, I told you about how he broke down about that and opened up about how it was on the road as a young boy when his brothers were older than him and there were babies coming out of the woodworks. It wasn't it was crazy.
And there was a lot going on. You know, people do, as I said, as I got in trouble last week, people do some freaky stuff. And we don't want to talk about the freaky stuff, but they do. And they do it around their children. And their children walk in on them, and their children see what's going on. Parents go out and buy prostitutes for their kids. At 13 years old, talking about, I'm going to turn you into a man. That is not how you do this.
I can tell you, I ran some oddballs.
The kids his age
didn't see. But anytime you talk about those Hollywood people, a lot of them are into freaky stuff anyway. So that's why I don't put them on a pedestal, because a lot of those celebrities have sex with everything, animals, men, women,
a lot
whatever.
Of those kids, any child celebrity in Hollywood, they got Corey Feldman from Lost Boys and License to Drive. He came out and just basically told them they was getting turned out by a bunch of Jewish executives, and let's be honest, homosexuality in Israel is rampant. These people are godless. They don't believe in any source, so they believe in themselves.
So they, I mean, if nothing wrong with them in their minds from turning out a little boy. They don't see nothing wrong with it.
Hey, you know where they kissed the babies at during the circumcision?
Yeah, like there was somebody that said, I heard somebody say that the rabbi actually tends to kiss the baby like in the groin area, like in their genitals.
Yes.
Like the rabbi actually sucks the genitals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about where that priest said, he's talking about the holy milk and all that.
Yeah.
Well,
I heard that.
I mean, it's evidently some type of ceremony that they do with infants, and the rabbi will actually suck the genitals of the infant.
Yeah,
like in terms of the Jews.
I've heard that through radio channels, but yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jewish people do that.
I think that was Catholic. But yeah, I mean, like I said before, First Timothy, it warns you against exactly that, and whoever takes or adds from the book, their names get blotted out. So I go like to the Church of Christ, and we try to follow directly what the Bible says. Now, the Mormons and all that, they add to stuff. Catholics, they add to it. It also says that their conscience would be sneered.
Yeah.
They have no conscience of what they're doing.
But see, that's the whole problem. When you try to interpret scripture, you have to put it in some type of historical context, and that's the problem. That's the problem that Islam has. They're not interpreting the scripture in any type of historical context. They are basically almost taking like a literal translation, and that's the reason why they're having problems. That's the reason why all these radicals that are out of control.
He was a warmonger. He's done a lot. Slave owner.
Yeah.
He married a 9-year-old girl. I mean, he was a bad guy. But all through history, that's kind of what it was. Like the warring states over in China and all that. In the medieval times, it was just rape, murder, and burn.
Yeah.
Like Muhammad, he would take like raid up village, you know, kill all the boys at a certain age, and all the men, they'd take up the women as slaves and certain the young baby boys and have them for their the grow up in their own tribes. But that would happen all over the world. And Islam just got, Islam is like 500-600 years younger than Christianity.
Yeah, the founders of Islam, they founded it in like 600 A.D. So it was 600 years, you know, after the advent of Christianity.
One thing I don't get is if they accept Jesus Christ as a messenger, why don't you believe anything he said? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's because they consider Jesus Christ to be a prophet. They don't consider him to be the Son of God. And they consider their prophet Muhammad to be the last prophet.
How about Africans?
If you believe he's a messenger, why don't you believe in his messages?
What about Africans who had religions and gods, you know, as much as 10,000 years before the advent of Christianity?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, when people look at religions like voodoo,
those religions are actually older
than Christianity.
Well, that's why most people from those cultures that come here, they're Catholic, because Catholic has multiple angels, which are the multiple deities of the voodoo and pantheon, and if you really study the history of it,
Yeah, I mean, all of those religions come from animism. And the worshiping of
the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament was not for everybody. He was created by the Yahweh. His name it was Yahweh. I was asking the other gentleman, what's your opinion on that?
Well, I'm just I'm getting back into the Bible. I mean, I'm studying. I don't have full knowledge, but to me, God, he can do the unbelievable. People ask for, like, well, how did Noah survive in the great fish, the great whale? God, he could do the impossible. He could do anything you know, beyond your comprehension. But, I mean, just through prayer and, I've been through the Army and all that, and situations that I've been in through prayer and, you know, just making it through life, I mean, that's how I believe.
Yeah, but,
I mean,
but that doesn't prove that God exists. Not because,
if you really search for God,
but sir, there's many people who search for God and don't believe it. There's many people who prayed and didn't have something that happened. It's not because you pray. If we would do a scientific test,
am I talking to an atheist?
Yes, you're talking to somebody who doesn't believe in God. Because when you're telling pray,
do you agree that there's certain things in the world that you can't explain?
For now, yes. Scientifically, yes. For now. And I have no problem in saying. I'd rather say I don't know than invent a theory. Go ahead.
In Israel, a couple of years back, you know the Dome of Rock? The Dome of Rock, the Muslim thing.
Yeah.
They still can't explain a light that came down the Dome of Rock. It was there
but the Dome
of
the Rock was supposed
like
to be where Muhammad
shot back
was to ascend to heaven.
Okay, and even sir, even
that's over
if
in Jerusalem.
Sir, even if they can't explain it, that doesn't go to all the way they say. Okay, we can't explain. That means God. No. You can't have it that way. We can't explain it. I'd rather have somebody say I don't know than saying I don't know. So the conclusion is God. No, you can't have it that way. You got to make the step. I don't know. And you got to prove your point that it goes to the point of God. When you're telling me,
I mean, the acts of Jesus were so powerful that
what makes you think that Jesus was so powerful? Based on what he was so powerful? Based on the word that was written on the book? Based on what? What are you going to base it on? Based on people that some people praise and it doesn't work with them? Based on what that Jesus is so powerful?
Okay, do you believe the text has been altered coming down?
Yeah, the text has definitely been altered because it's been translated into different languages.
Okay, now take a look at the
Dead Sea Scrolls. Here on the SLM AM 600, and I am sitting in studio with Styx, and when we were talking about the feminization of America, we talked about Adrian Peterson. The importance of fatherhood, I don't think we understand how important daddies are. I don't think we understand how important motherhood is. And one is just as equal as the other, but everybody has their job. And I think South Carolina said it the best. And he said that, you know, women cannot be men. And so you can transgender all you choose. You will never become a man. And men will never become women. You can shoot yourself with estrogen and all you please. But you will always be a woman, and it is what it is. And I said we talked about, you know, we mentioned about transgender. Again, you know, I should be able to have freedom of speech in America. And if I disagree, I disagree, and it's okay to disagree. It's okay to say, you know, I don't agree. And what's happening here, you know, even with the Rihanna song, there was a song that was written by Eminem that was about abuse. And no one's gone to the writers of the song to ask them what they thought about the song. They just yanked it from Thursday night football. But what they forgot to do is ask them what was going on. They didn't put them at the table. They just yanked the song based on Ray Rice. That's not a good way to. This is what happens. And this is what infuriates me to no end, because I've heard this before. We decided to go in another direction. So you jump in my pocketbook and tell me you're going in another direction. Because the polling says, I'll use you when I can, but when I can no longer use you, I will just shut you out. And then I think I'll be here late tomorrow. Jeff's going to open up, and Jeff and Mark Banji's going to open up. I want to talk about the lyrical content. Everybody's upset about the lyrics of the songs now, how violent they are. But do you realize that you didn't care about the violence of the music as long as you were making money? And you didn't care about what children were dealing with the lyrical content of the music as long as you were making money. And now you're not making money from it. It's no longer popular. And now you want to demonize it?
You guys still have a problem with Beyonce going, taking off her clothes and sliding all over the NFL Super Bowl, but now, oh my God, you can't do that? Are you kidding me?
Well, people are fascinated by sex and violence, and a lot of these rap lyrics, they fit into the same spectrum as mafia movies and these different action.
John, I'm not looking for an explanation. John, the question is, you can't like it today, and because something happens, now you demonize it tomorrow because you're the one who created this mess.
Right, but the whole thing is that the images of black men as thugs and different kinds of criminals, people in the black community should be outraged at these consistent images, and they should demand for a change.
But it doesn't mean we're not. And I understand what Tracy's saying. She's saying don't try to demonize it now because situations are happening. Now you're listening to what we've been saying all this time. Now you're finally waking. Now you want to say something. Now you want to do something to make something look a certain way now. And you
that's
know, it's already worse. There's a song called No Flex Zone, and there's children doing underage drinking. Little girls dressed up inappropriately. It's a nice song, but if you pay attention to the video, it's quite disturbing.
Hey,
that's what I'm saying.
At the Super Bowl, you remember that Coca-Cola ad?
Which one?
They played out of the Super Bowl, the Coca-Cola ad, where they had all the different nationalities, little kids singing the national anthem, and they would show two gay men couples.
I don't remember that.
This Super Bowl, Coca-Cola, American anthem.
I don't remember that.
But that commercial was pretty old. They were showing that commercial back in the
80s. They showed it on last Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that commercial is something that was like a signature look for Coca-Cola with all the different nationalities singing a Coca-Cola song. That came out in the 80s. You can look it up. And they probably just renewed it to what the world is now.
Well, there's a reason why they played at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but then
people were talking about that.
Yeah, there was people like that in that video. Just watch the 80s one, and you'll see that it's the same thing.
But my question is, hold on, caller. We've been fighting this for a very long time. I remember when you had people that were burning CDs when they were coming out with violent context. When you started calling women B's and H's, everybody had a problem with it, and nobody did anything about it. And now they want to start talking about, well, you shouldn't do that. You're the one who created this monster. Hip-hop was a creation. It was not created by black people. It was not distributed by black people. What it was it was an expression of what was going on in their community, and they bastardized it. That's a problem. You know, I said this before. When we talk about drugs in our community, we were yelling about drugs when they first came in, and no one said anything. And all of a sudden, when it skips over to the suburbs, now we've got a war on drugs. When we talked about childhood and teen pregnancy, as long as it was where I was, it was okay. When we talk about welfare, as long as you're proliferating that in my community, it's okay. But now you've got a problem? That's a problem. And we need to wake up and say, you cannot use me that way. You can't use me about disciplining my child and make me the poster child for child abuse. Well, all I'm trying to do is correct him.
Hello, Tracy?
Yes.
It's Michigan. You know,
dear Michigan.
You sound like, and this is no problem, you sound like Martin Luther King. You know, if you listen to most of Dr. Martin Luther King's speeches, he was always trying to appeal to, I don't know, good white folk or to the conscience of white folk. And I'm hearing you, you know, is doing the same thing. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but, I mean, what is it that you want white folk to do? I mean, to leave them being themselves.
This is not about white folks. Because today, this morning, I watched black folks say the same thing as them. This is about people standing up for what is right. And white is... Listen, this is not about black and white. This is about right. R-I-G-H-T. Yes.
Every example that you just used, well, One girl, one problem, 10 women to your community. Who are you talking about? Who is in your community? You're talking about white folks. Quit playing.
But now listen to what, listen to what I'm saying. Michigan, listen. The news media, whether it be black or white, because, you know, they call me an Uncle Tom. And what I'm saying is, don't call me an Uncle Tom when you're sitting there and you know that I have a culture. And so you're going to demonize two of these two black boys. And let me say this. It would be different if these were the first NFL players to have a domestic violence charge. They're not. This is not the first NFL player who's had a child abuse charge. It's not. So you can't use these two black men as poster children for America when it comes to domestic violence and when it comes to child abuse. This is not the case. So you can't just use them because they're popular and because they're good. When you talk about black and white, they're sending a message to all Americans that you should not do this. You do it this way.
Answer is, Tracy, they can use them for that, and they are using them for that.
So the question is, why is it that none of us are speaking up against it? I cannot stand silent on the sidelines and not root for my young black men. They're mine.
Yeah.
You pick on your own.
Speaking out. Yeah.
Who?
I think a lot of people are speaking out, but that's like the slave saying, hey, man, quit hitting me with that whip. I mean, what are you?
I'm not going to let you can't pick and choose who you're going to demonize in my community. If he stole something and beat his wife, drug her down, whatever, I want you to go after him because he's a bad person. But until you figure out what's going on, you can't cherry pick who you want to demonize and then cover who you want to cover. That's why, and the media, and your Uncle Toms, which happen to be supposed to be good people, so they can call me Uncle Tom if they want to. But you got black folks who are standing up there talking about, don't do that, because, you know, he whipped that child. If you think that this kid got whipped by a tree branch, then you need to shut up. It's not a tree branch, it's a switch. It's the youngest part of the tree. It's very, very flexible, so you don't hurt his bones. But you let the child know that you mean business. That's what a switch is. You got to take time to go outside and find a good one. They just don't grow. You just got to look. There wasn't no tree branch. You didn't go out there with a saw and start tearing stuff off the tree. That's not how it works. And so when I look at what's going on, and no, this is not trying to get white people to become anything. This is about society at large. And yes, they are picking on our two black males, which I have a problem because all things are not treated equally, and I'm tired of them demonizing. And then us standing on the sidelines, and then your black leaders who speak for the black community, you ain't heard a peep out of them at all.
They're entrepreneurs and not black leaders, but yeah, I understand what you mean.
And so
you know,
I just want us to open up our mouth and begin to. We need to go and stand up inside what's his name, the man Adrian's house in Texas, and tell them to give him his job back because he's innocent until proven guilty. Just because you're indicted does not mean that you're guilty. But no, they going down to Ferguson burning something down which you don't know nothing about.
Why aren't they standing?
Actually, that's what the owners did say, Tracy. But you know, on those switches, the child was the one who went out in the yard and picked the switch for his own punishment.
You know,
that's how they did it.
That's
how they do it.
Yeah.
That's how
well,
I had to do
I got
it.
The, too. I used to come back with dandelions.
Yeah, I used to pick my own out. It had the paddle out, and it was, I mean, the principal there, he would take some of those kids in there, I mean, he would really beat the heck out of them. He was like a 250-pound man. He wouldn't be able to get away with it these days, but...
No, you can't.
But that's, I mean, I got hit like that when I was a kid, but, I mean, It was just, I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, at my, like, at 38, when the kids, they would get whipped like that. But, I mean, it was just kind of toughen you up.
This is about, like I said, a switch kept you, yes, but let me say this in Michigan.
Okay.
A switch
yeah.
kept you from going home being stupid. I'm not lying. What it did was say, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to see the wrath of going home. That's what it does. Am I wrong?
Well, listen, when you're talking about political power in a capitalistic society, when the owner or coach for the Vikings, he got up there and did that press release, and right after the press release, Radisson pulled the advertisement. Now, this is political power. So if on the other side, if blacks have political power, if you say, hey, give him his job back, well, you have to be in a position where you can say, yeah, we're going to pull this ad if you don't give him his job back. So now you got a real political tug of war.
But let me say this to you.
Advertisements, the black one that they could use as a negotiating point for the NFL.
Let me say this to you this way.
You can go after maybe a product that blacks use that do advertise with the NFL. When blacks just say, hey, we're going to stop buying this toothpaste if you don't give me the job back. I mean, that's political power in the free market capitalistic culture. That's it.
And Michigan, you are correct.
Getting a microphone and running your mouth and getting, sweating and telling people to stop doing this or stop doing that, that's childish.
But Michigan, we have the political power. We just don't have the will. See, that's what I'm saying. The lack of organization and the lack of infrastructure is what we lack. We don't have any. Because right now, I ought to tell Radisson. Radisson CBS. So you know what? On Thursday night, we're gonna black it out. So Saturday or Sunday when Adrian, the Vikings play, we won't be watching. And anybody that advertises because he's not playing, we will not support. So Marriott or whomever it was, I hate to tell you this, but I won't be staying in your hotels. Because, we stay there also. And we spend money. We don't save.
Yeah. But that's what we're saying. You don't have an economic infrastructure, so therefore you have no power, and most black people are consumers. They're not producers of anything. So therefore you don't have any clout if you don't have any economic clout.
And that is a
problem. You can only depend on people like Al Sharpton to do all the activism for you, and Al Sharpton is just up there for a photo op.
Again, because remember,
so he's able to get his face on camera.
They choose our leader.
And we're not conscious consumers. Even if we're conscious consumers, you have some form of political power. But again, we have to stop calling Al Sharpton. They're not leaders. They're entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
That is the correct
thing. I mean, Al Sharpton is a multimillionaire. Both him and
Jeff. They're entrepreneurs. They're not leaders.
I agree. Michigan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. You're right. But again, they have chosen people, so they only stick their head up when they're called. But right now, there is a call here. Because we need to understand, if a black man is taking care of his child and he corrects his child and he has to go to work, and you start suspending him because of popular opinion, what is the next thing that you're going to do? You just can't pick and choose who you're going to suspend and how you're going to do it and when you're going to do it. It's either all or none. But this man is innocent until proven guilty unless he looks like Adrian Peterson. Now he's guilty. Don't come to the football game. Stay at home. Hide yourself because you got beat with a tree branch. That's crazy, and we ought to be standing up saying something about it because our children deserve better. And if all children had the correction of a father, they would not be incarcerated.
Why isn't anybody complaining about double jeopardy for Ray Rice?
because they're afraid that of the backlash that will come for standing up about the two spitting couple. Because it's not politically correct to stand up and say, I am in support of this man, even though I don't agree with what he did. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and say, you know what, he did, what he did was wrong, but what you did is just as wrong.
That's right. Which, what he did was wrong, but we're not going to let you punish him twice for this.
No, we're not going to let you do that. I'm not going to let you just demonize this man.
Well, Tracy, I personally think the elites, they just exploit this as a distraction. I mean, you're doing exactly what they want, just getting wild up. And I mean, these are just ball players. I mean, there's a lot more going out there. I mean, to me, sports is just used for distraction, okay? So keep
Honey,
your head
listen.
Off. Music,
let me. I only got 2 minutes left. Let me tell you this about the sports. It might be a distraction, but it's used to shape the mind of America. I went to a professional football game for the first time on this past Sunday, and I counted the money on the wall. I counted the people inside the stands, and I paid attention to everything that was going on, including the game. We need to understand that you might think sports is just entertainment pastime, but it is a multi-billion-dollar business that drives policy. And they're using it against Americans. They're using it to shape policy, and they're using it to shape the minds of Americans because it is America's pastime.
It's our religion.
And we need to pay attention to what they're doing to us in front of us. I love you guys. I'll see you on tomorrow. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is...
Oh, my.
Hey, I'm about to go, but hey, if y'all want to watch
wow.
something... Oh, she's gone?
Yeah.
I was just going to put this out here. This is like my pastor. He's talking to, back in the 80s, he's talking to one of Louis Farrakhan's right-hand man, and it's called Was Christ Crucified by Don DeLucchi, DeLucchi. It's like a three-hour debate, but it's a powerful debate between Islam and Christianity. Don DeLucchi, I mean, he's done a lot in Africa and all that, but it's a powerful
Do you know that the Africans that was brought here to the Americas to become slaves was not following Christianity, they was following Mohammedism and tradition?
Yeah, I think, I mean, at one point, the Arabic Islamic, they enslaved black people. And they kind of inherit Islam through that. And then later...
Well, regardless of... they never had child slavery like we had here in white America. But as I said before, the Africans that was brought here to the Americas was following tradition and Mohammedism. Did you know that?
No, I mean, I'm not up to date with that now.
So now you know. So Christianity was forced upon black Americans.
Yep.
It was forced upon them with the whip. It was forced upon them where they could not speak their own language, could not play the drum, and could not honor their ancestors the way they felt.
Christ became before those slave owners, and they used it by their means. But that doesn't mean that Christianity is bad.
Let me ask you something else. When Alexander and Justinian, I'm sorry, Augustus, tried to bring Christianity into southern Africa, beyond into what's called the Sudan today, they fought it off. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Did you know that?
No. You study up on it, huh? Well, all
That's
I can
true.
Say is... Christ wasn't for slavery. Islam was. And I'm just getting back into it. I mean, it probably take me a couple of years, I guess, to catch up with you. If you
Did you know that the God of the Old Testament was not made for everybody? He was made for a particular people, and he said so within the text of the Old Testament. And actually, it was Christians who called it an Old Testament, because when they wrote it, there was nothing else new except for that. So why would they call it Old Testament? Amos 3:2, it says, "You only have I known of all the nations on the earth." Did you know that the God of the Old Testament was not for people of European descent?
Well, I mean,
of course it wasn't for people of European descent. It was the God of the children of Israel. It was God of Abraham.
It wasn't.
It
wasn't for the God of the children of Israel, neither. It was the God. It was the deity of the Yahwehs. It was
okay,
not the children.
If you're going to speak of the God of the Bible,
I'm talking about the God of the first five books.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, "For you are a holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth."
Okay,
it was not for everybody.
We know that. He doesn't speak to anyone other than the lineage of those that came after Abraham. So,
no, he was.
Point?
The point is that he was not for everybody.
He was not. At that time, you got to understand that at that time, it was a setup for what was to come. So what's
no,
the point?
It was not.
In the New Testament, it speaks of, and even as you go throughout the Old Testament, it speaks
the
of
the Old Testament. The New Testament was something
him.
That somebody else. In Exodus, wait a minute, let me finish.
They rejected
it
him.
Says,
okay, but I'm trying to understand what your point is.
My point is that the first five books was written for the Yahwehs. Their deity was Yahweh. He was a God of no particular power, a local God of no particular power. Then others would come on the way he was. Then others would come on. Why is it that you always get in a hollering match? Would you let people talk first? God damn!
You're up here and you
say, "Motherfucker, all you do is run your mouth, little lady."
Who are you speaking to? Because there's two females.
I wasn't speaking to you in the first place. I was speaking to the other gentleman. What is it hard about you to understand about that?
Because you're trying to put out some information. I'm trying to get some understanding. So because I'm questioning.
I don't want you to get the understanding. I'm talking to the other man who has his daughter or his child with him. I told you to stop talking to me.
Again. Make up your damn mind, because one minute you want
I don't have to
talk,
make up my damn
mind lie.
For you,
yeah, you
fool.
Do.
Just
you
be quiet. You shouldn't be coming in there talking to me anyway.
You're
I don't give a damn about you being
like
a female. You're a managed female at that. I wasn't talking to you.
Okay.
Do you understand? Aminty, will you tell her that I was not talking to her?
That's your problem.
Aminty, tell her that I was not talking to her. Now, gentlemen, to the guy, as I was finishing saying, I was talking to him. If you go to Amos 3:2, and it's also go to Deuteronomy 7:6, you will find it.
Okay, whatever.
I'll look
that
up. It's been nice.
Thank you, sir.
To talk to you, but Christ also said, "Whoever believes in me shall have eternal life."
I don't dispute you there.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that.
I mean,
well, let me say what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the first five books of the old, what we call, what the Christians came along and named the Old Testament, was for the Yahwehs. And you can find the greatest resemblance of the Yahwehs is when the Romans persecuted them and Taharqa let them come down into what's now called Aswan. It was called Bega. It was called Swanee at the time. They remained on Bega Island. You can see remnants of them today. You can see the carvings in the stone. And then they went down into what today is called Gondor, Ethiopia. And that is all they followed the first five books.
I'll check it out. What religion are you? Or are you?
I don't have no religion. I don't need no religion.
Okay. Well, I'll look it up. It's been nice talking to y'all. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir. Take care of yourself.
All Take care.
Yeah, that's why you only wanted to address him, because he couldn't come back at you.
You can't need it. And I told you I wasn't talking
Whatever.
To you.
Whatever, I don't care. I want to act like a little mitt. You're going to
mess
that's
around and get
right.
your feelings hurt again. Leave me out. Just stay out of my, stay out of my
you
business.
You're acting like
and Minty, how you been doing?
I will put a B on there, but you're not a female. So
how you been doing,
like
Minty?
I'm
doing
exactly
good.
What like.
Hey, who's that, Diva? Is that Diva?
Yes, that's me.
Hi, Diva. No, I want to know, Bianchi, do you feel that, you know, there's an emasculation of the man with this football situation? I really wanted to hear you speak to that.
Well, what I see with the football situation is several things. One is you got a women's group out there that's trying to make some headway, like we've seen back during in the 1990s in Detroit when black people came out to make changes in the public schools, and they wanted to have gender-specific schools. The meeting was held on a Saturday when it was about 25 degrees or even colder, and they came out on the concerns about the black male. As a matter of fact, they wrote a book about it called Educating the Black Male. And when they started talking about having a school specifically for males, then you had this feminist organization, NOW, came out and filed suit against the whole thing. So it's been going on for quite some time.
Johnson was doing the same thing, and this lady did a blog. And she spoke against him. He was doing the same thing in New Jersey.
That's when black women need to come out themselves and speak against these white women.
This was white. This was a black woman who spoke against it. This was,
You should speak against the white groups and also women, the black women that want to be part of it, and tell them to stay out of your business. These are your children. Yes.
I just want to know if you could hear me.
Yeah, we can hear. So, Amenti, that's what should go down, because you got some black women out there. You had black women that was supporting Officer Wilson here. And nobody wanted to believe the testimony of the two young black ladies and the young man that was with him until these two white construction workers appeared and said that's exactly what happened. And they got him on film. They got him on film, Amenti, and they got him on audio hollering to the police. One construction worker had his hands up indicating to the police, he's got his hands up. Why are you continuing shooting? And as he is talking, you can continue to hear gunfire in the background.
And that's what I didn't like about what Tracy them was saying. They didn't hear sometimes they make it into a racial thing, too. They made it into a racial thing. Because it just when they were saying something, when the black people were saying that, even black people don't want to believe what they're saying. But then, as soon as the Caucasians, you see what their reaction was. Now everybody wanted to believe it. That's a shame.
I think Ferguson is fake, but that's another topic. I really do, but that's another topic. But I'm gonna tell you one thing: they didn't tell the truth about all that rioting and all that stuff they said the people was doing. That wasn't going down like people were saying it was. And that's from sources someone I know in the Midwest, some people actually did go out there, and it was like that stuff wasn't even going on. But that's the news for you. That's how
tear gas was going on. You had white police officers. I said that you had white males in police uniforms with no badge or name tag on their shirt. That did go on. And the incidents that have been going on to lead up to it have been going on for a long time.
Yeah,
you know, it's peculiar that even a white construction worker that came forward, and it was two of them, and gave their testimony, which corroborates with those of the young lady and the man that was alongside Michael Brown. They live in Jefferson County, and they're all the way up in Ferguson working. So that there is a problem.
That. Now, I just think, again, I keep talking about it since I've been reading this book, and it's just the emasculation of the man. It really is. Instead of just saying, he was wrong for hitting that woman, Ray Rice, where's the responsibility telling a woman not to do that to a man? You understand what I'm saying?
To do what?
Well, she was wrong for hitting him too. If it had been done on the street in a concealed carry state, she would have got shot.
They both were wrong, but you know your man. I wouldn't have gotten in the elevator with my man if he was mad at me. I would have went the other way.
She didn't get on the elevator with him. He followed her into the elevator. So what was she supposed to do? Walk out of the elevator?
Well, that's what I would have did if I knew he was mad. You know your man. You know when you know when not to talk to your man. You know when, okay, I'll talk to him later. You know, nobody takes responsibility for that. Some things you just have to know.
So because a female will put herself in the space of a man who is mad, it's her fault if she ends up unconscious.
Well, yeah, leave him alone.
Okay.
I know it's hurtful. I know it's hurtful for people to hear.
No, it's not hurtful.
Leave the man
alone. That's asinine.
I was watching. Let me tell you why.
That's asinine thinking.
I was watching the show Utopia, right? Hold on, real quick. I was watching the show Utopia. The man was drunk. He slapped the girl on the butt. She didn't approach it then, but she approached it later, and she got irate about it. The man was drunk. They said, look, leave him alone. When he's sober, you approach him about what he did to you then, and we'll handle the situation. She kept going in his face, going in his face, going in his face, now and yelling and doing what she was doing. Now, if this man would have pushed her or something like that, she would have well deserved it. I know, once again, it sounds hard, but sometimes you have to know when to stop. Some women don't know when to stop.
That's completely different than what happened in Ray Rice's situation, because where do we see her continuously go at him?
She spit on him.
All right.
In the elevator?
He spit on her. As she was walking past,
elevator?
Spit on her.
The story goes that she spit on him. He didn't spit on her.
That's not how the story goes. ESPN even
he
ran
hit her
the story.
One time and she fell down.
Before I watched the story, I watched the video, and I was like, wait a minute. Is he spitting on her as she's walking past? No one would believe me, because I was like, wait a minute. It looked like he spit on her. So she walked past. She spit on her. She backhanded him. Now, that right there should have ended it. She gets on the elevator. He gets on the elevator with her. He's all up in her face. It looks like he spit on her again. So she pushes him. Then he punches her. So she goes to try to hit him again. So that's when he levels the knockout punch. So where was she? I mean, this is not the situation where we had a Beyonce and a Solange in the elevator, where if Jay-Z was slapped, it's the hellfire out of Solange. I would have not said nothing, because old girls should have had some restraint. But this was not that case. And we can't take every case where a woman is belligerent and getting up in a man's face and just suppose in the Ray Rice situation. It was not the same. Everybody kept saying, oh, she went ham. Oh, she just kept going at him. No, she didn't. It's completely different. Now, if you want to talk about a female getting out of hand, let's go to Solange and Jay-Z. But nobody in the black community commended Jay-Z for showing restraint, being a man, no understanding his full strength, and understanding she wasn't worth losing his career. But everybody, all I heard was everybody teasing and
Hey, Minty.
Yeah, I'm here.
Minty, I agree with you.
Thank you. You have to know. Speaking of a relationship, you have to know your man. You have to. When a man is in a certain state, you have to walk away. You have to know when to do that to avoid these type of situations. If my man is mad at me, I'm not getting on an elevator with him. And listen, if my man spit in my face, I'm not going to get on an elevator with him, nor am I going to. I might get angry or whatever, but no, I'm going to have to walk away.
You know what,
Amini?
If I'm waiting on an elevator and the elevator door opens and there's white women on there, I will not get on.
So if a man antagonizes a female, she's just supposed to walk away.
That tells what kind of woman she is, because if you were the man that has spit on you, that says a lot.
Okay.
And it don't look like that's the first time that situation happened.
That's the first time that situation happened, but abuse happens, and why women choose to stay is for whatever reason, it's not for us to sit and judge.
But Amita, you know how Tracy so eloquently explained it this morning.
What's the
Tracy so eloquently explained this morning.
But you don't want to judge the man. That's backwards. And for women,
Tracy,
even
Tracy so eloquently expressed it this morning.
And not the man.
She said that a person who abused you, you would never spit on them. I had to commend Tracy for the way she laid that down.
Exactly. So everybody wants to say it's a pattern of violence, and no, it wasn't. Right away. She married him anyway. She asked her to leave her alone.
Exactly.
Her marrying him doesn't mean diddly squat.
Now you want to sit in judgment on what he did after
the
fact. Listen,
if a man hurts you.
That is so abstinent. That is so
if
abstinent.
If a man hurts you, you're not talking to him.
That's what African Americans.
Let me tell you something.
No sense. You
if
don't
a man hurts you, you're not going to talk to him anymore.
But you want to judge her for marrying her abuser. That makes no sense.
I'm not judging her.
Yeah, you are. You just judged her based on the fact
that she
married him.
I don't care. That's what she's saying.
But you want to sit up here. You don't want to look at Ray Rice's actions. You want to look at her actions. That makes no sense to me.
The woman said, trust the woman asked the public to stay out of her business.
This is the problem with feminists, and this is my issue. When you understand the energy between a man and a woman, there's a certain things that you don't do. Women, we have a lot of power more than we think that we do when it comes to a man. I'm saying this from experience. I've had physical situation with a man I'm with years ago. And I'm telling you, every time I said, if I would have hugged and gave him a kiss, maybe a blowjob or something, that situation would have never happened. Why? Because now I'm starting to learn the man. I'm starting to understand how much power a woman has that she can make a man snap, crackle, and pop. That's just how it goes.
It's for us to be docile so that they don't get irate and get mad.
You don't have to be docile.
It's
just being feminine. No.
That's what it sounds like. Just being feminine doesn't stop abuse, Minty.
No, that's different. Hold on.
And it's not going to stop.
If you're with
abuse.
A man that's just abusive and crazy like that, again, that falls
sometimes
on you
they're not
for staying there. Hold on. That falls on you for standing because a man who you're in a relationship with, and maybe I have a situation where it gets too crazy with an argument, you know what you can say to push his buttons. You know what you can say to set him off to even punch a hole in the wall. It happens.
Just like,
because he's a man.
Just like a man. And just like a man knows what he can say and do to set off a woman, but she's not supposed to go there. She's supposed to remain in her corner as a feminine, but as a female, but as a man, it's okay for him to go out. Well, we know.
No, that's not what anybody's saying. That's the misunderstanding.
That
everybody wants
like.
To jump in and
ain't
say, oh,
said,
you're saying men can do this
said,
and women can't do that. It's not about that.
So if she would have spit on him first. And he
I don't know
her,
about my
baby. He deserved it.
Moments,
but he spit on
thing,
her,
baby.
And then she hit him back for spitting on her, and then he turns around, and then it turns around and gets worse. She's still at fault. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
She should have walked away.
She should have walked away. But if she would have spit on him, it's okay if he would have whooped her ass.
She
should have
walked away.
Her, she has no recourse to defend herself. She should have just walked away. But yet,
yep,
he couldn't have just walked
right.
away. I don't hear anybody saying.
Tracy, let me tell you something. A man's hit is worse than a woman's hit. Let me just tell you that. My man popped me in my head. My ears rung for a whole week. I never did that again. And I
should have walked away because she couldn't defend herself.
Okay.
She should have walked away.
She should have walked away and went on and bought her wedding dress.
Yeah, for real.
But we have to accept that the fact that a man, if a female attacks a man, it's okay for him to beat her ass.
So after
we
she came
that,
too.
Tracy, but if a man antagonizes a female, she's just supposed to walk away.
Tracy, hold on. Let's be for real. Hold on. When a woman attacks, we
she
don't
she needs
just
to walk
attack.
Away and go and get her wedding dress like she did.
Right, hold on. When a woman attacks, you know a woman doesn't just attack. She's going to do something to set you off. I stabbed my man with an umbrella. I'm sure I've seen women throw drinks at a man, just do very violating, degrading stuff, and that will set a man off. Just like she spit on him, and it set him off. I'm not justifying what the man did. Hear me out. I'm not justifying what the man did, but for women, talking about relationships, you know how far to go with your man. It's just that simple. It's just that simple.
It
you
doesn't
know
matter
how far,
if you're getting
how to
into,
go.
If you're
Tracy, when my man
verbal,
comes through the door, I just give him a kiss and say, how was your day? After he takes his shower, then I'm all in his face and talking to him. Why do I do that? Because I know my man. When he comes home from work, he doesn't want to be bothered. He want to take a shower. He want to watch his Sports Nation. I allow him to do that and let him be a man and have his space, and then I come around, and then we can have our time. That's okay. That's
so,
knowing your man.
So, but what if at that moment you need to talk and he don't want to talk? So you're supposed to pull
Tracy,
back on what you need
yes,
at that
I do.
Moment.
You know
yeah,
why?
Right.
Yes, I do.
So
yes, I do.
Because, so the
you have
to
understand that men are wired differently than we
me.
This is the problem of relationships. Okay. This is Tracy. This is what I'm saying. But just real quick. Can the men agree that this right here is the can the men agree in this room that this is the problem right here between men and women? Men are wired differently. You don't give him a plate and try to sit down and talk to him. He can't do two things at the same time. It's not going to work out.
Well,
all he can do is say whatever you want him to. This is the truth. He's not. He can't do two things at the same time. He's not going to want to talk and eat. That's something real simple about a man.
All you're doing is making men seem like they're weak and incapable.
No, absolutely not. They're men. Do the men agree with me with this? Can I get some men to say something? What the hell?
If it's that important, then call me at work.
That's what you're trying to say. That's what Diva trying to say.
You can't talk and eat at the same time. We can't, as a couple, have a conversation because you're in whatever foul mood. Well, we both be in foul mood. But if I'm in a foul mood, you want to talk.
Not a foul mood. It doesn't matter you're in a foul mood.
So
I said all the time, hold on, Tracy.
That doesn't make any sense
that's
to me.
Your,
that's
your
Tracy, if the man, when it's certain things about a man, there's certain things about a man that a woman has to learn, and the things about a woman that a man has to learn. And this is how we can come together and learn one another. With all this gender bending, this is causing a lot of problems amongst people. This is men are simple. Men are just they really are so simple. If you're with a healthy masculine man, you talk to him at the time when you know it's okay to talk to him. Yes, you have to wait.
Listen to what you're saying. It sounds like you're saying you need to talk to him.
Okay, hold on.
I want to
hear what
you're saying.
South Carolina.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm feeling good like this.
That's all
I want to do is eat my dinner in silence. Okay? I want to enjoy the meal. You worked on it. You cooked the meal for me. I want to appreciate the meal that you cooked.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what you want to talk about. What's wrong with that, Diva?
He don't want to talk and eat at the same time. He don't want to talk and eat. It's annoying. He don't want to do that. He want to sit down. He want to eat. He want to watch Sports Nation. And then when it's time for the serious conversation, he'll have it with you. It's that simple.
If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be here right now. You know?
But you know what it is? A lot of women, this is how men are, but there's some women who can't handle it. And this is why a lot of women are lesbians. This right here. Because they can't handle this.
I will never be a lesbian,
thing of a man.
But the fact that I have to sit and wait on my man to even talk to me because he, no, I'm sorry, I won't do it.
It's about
well,
the type of, again, it's about
that's
the type
you won't have one.
If you would a masculine man,
I guarantee you probably will not end up with a brother. I probably will not end up with a black man. I probably will not end up with a black man. Probably why I'm very attracted to white men because I don't have this problem with white men. I've only had this problem with black men.
Honey, it doesn't matter. A masculine man.
No, I'm sorry. I never had.
It doesn't matter the race. It doesn't matter the race. A man is a
man. He expected me to hold off on conversation because he was having dinner.
I don't blame a black man.
I had to learn this. And what I'm saying is because I know that I'm with a man's man. I'm with a very masculine man, and he was raised around a bunch of men. And so this is how I had to learn how to deal with men and just in general. And I'm telling you, they're so simple once you really learn them. And most of all, once you learn your own man. When you learn your own man, you will avoid situations like Janae. You really would. And now look what happened. This man lost everything, so where's the finances of the family going to come in now? Where's the stability and the comfort of the family? You see what I'm saying?
Chicken
fat.
I'm
sorry, I don't agree.
Chicken
fat.
They don't want real husbands. They're going to be separate husbands.
You may feel that you have a valid point, but I just strongly, vehemently disagree with everything that you're saying. And, of course, these men are going to agree with everything that you're saying because they're men. So they like being characters.
Oh no, I think the men are agreeing with
Diva.
What I'm saying about understanding a man. I think that's what
it's one thing to understand
Diva.
Your man.
Diva.
It's one thing to understand your man, but in a relationship, you're supposed to have mutual respect for each
one
other.
One thing I like about a mentee.
About me saying, okay, I'm going to
one thing I like about a mentee, I like her African name, and I like the fact that she's married and got a baby by a true black man, black
like
African man.
I like the fact that every family I know, they live their life the way a mentee and her husband does, is very, very happy and successful.
He's right. I'm telling you, I read
so
that book, Man Leaves, and she says some stuff that I'm like, what the hell, but she's
so
speaking the truth.
I take it, Eric, you don't have any problems with your wife. She's along the lines of a mentee.
Pretty much.
Plus a mentee don't eat that swine.
Sit down. Sit down. I just want you to understand, Tracy, I'm not defending the man.
I'm not
saying it's okay.
Not
I'm not Tracy,
mentee.
Goodness, but Diva.
It's not Tracy.
My bad. Diva, I'm saying I'm not doing that. All I'm saying is from what I see in general is, okay, look at, you know, women have to understand that we're both masculine and feminine energy. I got that. But in order for us to come together as men and women, understand one another, we have to understand how men are. We have to understand how women are. And with the gender bending, they're saying, well, just because you're a man doesn't mean this, because you're a woman doesn't mean that. Okay, I absolutely agree with that. But when you're in a relationship with a man, a masculine type of man, because what these women are doing nowadays, they want their man to be their girlfriend and their boyfriend at the same time. And it's just not going to happen. That's why you have your girlfriends, and that's why you have your man at home. And this is being misunderstood, and this is why you find a lot of women with a lot of gay friends, a lot of gay boyfriends.
You cannot just suppose every situation when it comes to a ratchet female with a real case of domestic violence. I see ratchet females all the time. I see females getting out of hand, getting out of pocket, getting out of mind. Typically, you
can no
but it's not a racist. Hold on, but listen. This is a woman thing I see. Even on TV, I see women getting belligerent, hitting men in their face, doing stuff. And I'm like, you don't do that to a man. You don't talk to him, call him a bitch. You don't, excuse me, the B word and stuff. You don't do that to a man.
But it's okay. But what is your argument when it comes to men doing that?
It's not okay for a man to hit a woman. It's not okay.
But we never talk about the actual male. We never talk about
everybody keeps wanting to jump to that. Listen, in situations.
It's ready chicken patty with some salt.
Oh, it. You know, in situations again where there's two people that's a couple, and if the man is getting belligerent and hitting her to control her and stuff, that's a whole nother story. But in situations where women are in men's faces and they're drunk and they're provoking them and they get pushed or they get hit or whatever, there's certain things you just don't do.
How is it a whole nother story? I'm confused because on one hand, it's like...
The thing is, at the end of the day, a husband and wife's business is their business. Now, what's wrong with people?
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not typically their business because when you put yourself in the spotlight, you put yourself out in the public, you sign up for everything that comes along with that. Whatever happens outside of your home.
No, I don't. Well, you may sign up for that, but I don't.
Yeah, you do. When you sign up for fame, that's exactly what you're signing up for, everybody being in your business. Whatever happens outside your home is fair game. And if you're abusing someone inside your home, that's fair game too. Because as society, as a people, we shouldn't stand for other people beating on other people and treating them subservient and treating them like they're a piece of meat, like they're a piece of crap. It takes one person to stand up and say, I'm not, we shouldn't stand for this. I mean, imagine what would have happened if somebody didn't speak out against slavery. Imagine what would have happened if somebody didn't speak out. I mean, because that was their own personal, personal issue.
That's a low blow. That's a real low blow.
And if someone to come along and say that's not right, same thing with Jim Crow law. Same thing with black codes. Same thing with civil rights.
Wait a minute. You're just going too far.
Right.
We're talking to, wait. When you're talking about a setting, I'm speaking in the setting of...
Because you guys are constantly saying what happens in people's private affairs should stay in their private affairs. Well, guess what? There's some real ugly, nasty stuff that happened in people's private affairs that somebody's trying to fight.
Well, we know that, but it's not that we don't know that, Tracy.
So domestic violence is not... So you don't think domestic violence is that ugly enough to shine a light on? Because
that wasn't
somebody's
domestic.
Private
I
don't
even think that was even domestic. But I think that's their relationship. They've been together
some,
for high
some
school.
Couples, some couples defecate on each other. I understand. So yes,
old.
It is some nasty stuff that go on in people's private lives.
They were together since they were 2 years old. Domestic violence can occur at any point, any time in a relationship.
Some women
they
have sex with animals.
Way.
Yeah.
Some animals, some women indulge in bestiality within their own household. You're right, there's some nasty stuff that goes on.
Here we are. Bianca crazy. Oh, man, I just think that this feminist thing is just pushing things a little bit too far. And it's just misunderstanding a lot of things between men and women that's so simple, but they're making it so big. That it's not.
Abuse has nothing to do with feminism. The women's empowerment movement, a separate, women's suffrage movement, separate from feminism.
Yeah, but why don't they talk to the woman who
didn't
marry him? She married the man. She just,
it doesn't
went.
Matter. You understand domestic violence and how abuse works, right? There is a mental aspect to it more so than there is a physical aspect to it.
I honestly, for me intuitively looking at everything, I don't think he is abusing that woman. I really don't.
Oh.
I don't think he's abusing her. I think they have a situation.
A man who has never hit a woman and knocked her, punched her, and knocked her even to the floor, you mean to tell me his actions afterwards? How he just drugged her out of there and how he just looked didn't look concerned whatsoever, trying to cover it up?
I don't think he was drinking.
I seen a man knock a chick out who punched him in his face first, and he still was concerned at the fact that he knocked her out.
What about that woman, Marissa Alexander? That shot at her husband and was exposed the two kids to the dangers of being hit with a ricocheted bullet.
So should she be in jail because she continued to put herself in a place to be in a position?
She should be. She's facing 60 years. That's what the state says. She know the law.
So should she be in that situation because she put herself in a situation to where she was being
exposed?
So
that poor man, the poor man husband, the poor man was terrified, and the kids were too.
So with this one, she
after
put herself
he
in that
just
position.
Beat her ass.
She put herself
and
in
he
that
threatened
position.
To kill her. So she put herself in that predicament. So she deserves
threatened
to
is not doing it. She brought out a gun and shot. She could have and injured either one of those two children or that poor man.
Absolutely.
The poor guy was probably suffering.
The poor guy.
Before her, though. She could have killed the child before her. Just like the chick
okay.
killed the van in the ocean.
Again,
her,
the
huh?
poor guy, the poor defenseless guy who just brutally beat her ass and threatened to kill her.
That's not the state charges. The state charges is she risked the lives. She risked the safety of those two children.
He wasn't
and she
with
threatened.
Violence.
She criminally assaulted that man. That's why her ass is in jail right now.
In his affidavit, he stated that he beat her ass.
And when she got ready to go to jail, they made her take that weave out.
Again, yes, he was beating on women before her. So again, because she put herself in a predicament with an abusive man, does that mean she deserved to be sitting where she is? Yes or no?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Just like my sister, when she was with her boyfriend, and I went over there to protect him, and he pulls out a gun, and I takes her home, and 2 or 3 days later, she's back over there. Don't call me no more.
Okay.
You could have got killed, man.
At the point where your sister may have decided to take matters into her own hands and defend herself against an abusive man, because, again, abuse is not just physical. It's mental.
Did you hear what I just said?
Aspect.
I took her away from
it's
the
like
situation.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome. You say your sister deserves to sit in prison for 60 years because she defended herself against an abusive man?
I said I took her away from the situation. She went back.
Okay, that's not the
question that was asked. I'm not going over there to get killed for that.
We're not asking you. I'm asking.
She violated the law. She violated the law. The law is on the books. You do not discharge weapons in the public.
If your sister decided to defend herself against a man,
she wasn't defending herself. She came back like a fool. She should have left. She had opportunity to leave.
See, then you wonder why I talk over you, because you always talk over me, and then you get mad like a little Mitch.
Don't go back.
But yet you were very disrespectful.
That's right.
And yet you don't want nobody.
Like
you
went over
to,
like you went over to save your sister, and she didn't have enough sense to not to go back. She went back.
That's right.
Same
that's
thing
right.
with this
like
woman
you,
in Florida.
You're not getting me killed.
She left.
Again.
She left and came back into the house.
Your sister faces 60 years.
So what is that noise in the background,
against,
y'all?
Against her abuser. I'm asking the guy, Lloyd.
Y'all having that same noise in the background?
Floyd, if your sister,
Alabama, you having that same noise?
Floyd, you're not answering the question. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your sister. If your sister kills this man in defense of herself, so you would be okay with her facing 60 years. You would just sit back and be like, well, that's you.
If it was a self-defense and he was dead, then she wouldn't be facing 60 years. She'd have got off on self-defense.
No, again.
That's right.
Okay, whether she whether
ain't that something else? How simple is that to see? If you got one man, one person lying, and the other man person dead, how's the person dead going to throw up a defense?
You can't even answer the question honestly. That's no answer. It's just what your sister, who put herself in the predicament of an abuser, fought back. Whatever's outside, whatever you... She fought back, and she was faced for 6 years.
And I couldn't understand the outcry from the public. The public... It's saying that this woman exposed two children to bodily danger.
You sit back and be okay with it, all right?
I ain't going to be okay with it, but I'm going to say that, I mean, and I can do, if I take you away from you, you go back to hit you again, and now you end up killing me, and then that's your fault.
And another thing, with this Marissa Alexander, the prosecutor offered her a plea deal. But you know what came into play on that? That arrogance? And all that other stuff that women of her mentality throw out there, now she's facing 60 years.
I have to be honest with you guys. I learned a lot from you guys. I learned what type of man I definitely don't want to deal with. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but are you married now?
This line of thinking. No,
are you
I'm
married
not married.
Now?
I was married to a black man, and we're divorced. And
the one you're with now, he married you?
I'm sorry?
The Caucasian one, he gave you a ring?
Yes, he did. I gave it back, but that's in your business.
Well, you
wasn't because
like
of no
it
abuse.
Be.
It wasn't because of no abuse. It wasn't because of no talk like this.
What
Most
was it because of?
I'm not going to sit in and think and have, a, have me feel like I'm less than or I have to be subservient to be with somebody.
You, well, you
I'm
said
sorry.
It better. You, the way
you,
you
know, abuse
like
could
than
be
than
that
us,
you just talk too damn
you
much.
I know plenty of black men who don't talk or think like this, and I would gladly date them.
Well, go ahead then.
What? How you guys talk? No. That just goes to me what type of male I don't want to be.
We feel the same way.
Y'all don't complain about the misogyny.
If I was going to marry, I'd marry a lady like a bitch.
All y'all want to do is complain about a woman does and what she doesn't do. That sounds so weak to me.
Hey, brother, if we was going to marry, we would marry a woman like a bitch.
Y'all counterpart.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the difference, Eva.
Y'all supposed
you
to treat a woman.
You wouldn't marry a man like us.
A mentee has a helpful, she's very spiritual. She has a helpful living style. She don't eat that swine. She doesn't eat that swine.
Hey, fellas, hold up. Diva, that's the thing is you, the women know all about what a man's supposed to be, but they don't know what a woman's supposed to do.
Yeah, right. It's all about the kind of man that you want.
We do know what a woman's supposed to do. But the fact of the matter is we've always done that, and we always feel
no, you haven't. You haven't done that.
Whatever. This women's suffrage movement didn't come out of just thin air for no reason. There's a reason, though, why that happened.
Men, too.
Now, the feminist movement is completely something different. I don't agree with that movement, but the women's suffrage didn't happen
like,
just out of thin air.
Like
you had women who were cooking, cleaning, doing what they were supposed to do, still getting cheated on, still getting disrespected, still getting beat on.
So men don't get cheated
still
on either when they do
like
the right thing.
They were less than equal.
Men don't get cheated on when they do the right thing.
You mentioned that there are certain men that you would marry in a heartbeat. Well, the question is, would they marry you?
Right. The way your mouth is.
I wouldn't, neither one of us on the time would be compatible. So
don't get quiet now.
I could care less. I'm not quiet. I could care less if a man like either one of you guys would not want me or want to marry me. That does not hurt my feelings because I'm not going to be attracted to you to begin with.
Doesn't hurt mine either. That's the thing.
It doesn't hurt mine either. The moment that comes out your mouth is all you do is blame women and everything. You complain everything, your problems and how you feel about the world and stuff. You blame on the woman. I'm sorry. No, I can't do it.
So all I said is when a woman tells me that I ain't the kind of man that she would marry, that doesn't bother me.
So. How are you today? They treating you good up here? All right, let me know if they don't.